This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
Thinking of a master plan.
Death with the record. Death with the record.
Thinking of a master plan.
Death with the record. Death with the record.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deep up, still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole-up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. So now to test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, cause I'm paid.
Yes, you know it's true. Oh, oh, oh. I have to face without you here? It's so far as the time you have me. How much more can I take? How much more? What can I do? Just hold on tight and be strong. I don't want to make it through. Now the time and the need to finally go away. I feel you near. And it's a lovely day.
This is Mitch Henry, introducing to you the most exciting news for all you independent artists, musicians, and even authors. We are IndieHeat.com, and we want to make your dreams and ambitions a reality. Start submitting your material now to IndieHeat.com before everyone knows about this limited time offer. Your submissions are half off. That's right, half off the regular price. So pick up the phone and call us now. Start making money on your material. You deserve it. At IndieHeat.com, you're just a click away from a hit.
I'm out in the street.
Yo, get ready for the hardest mixtape of the year. David Blaine, R&B, straight drop, brought to you by Trapper Hollow Mixtape. This mixtape features Waka Flocka, Gucci Mane,
and Baby Juice Man,
Kai, Jack Moon, Fendi 20 Gimp, Sick as Dane, and more. Be on the lookout for On Fire. I'm getting to the paper. Believe it, Lanked Up. Available on Live Mixtape at DavidBlaineOnline.com.
You rock it like the best to ever do it. Them other ones work it, but they ain't getting into it. You got them heels on, laced up and juicy, mixed up fingernails. Let me see if you can bop, bop, bounce to the beat. You see me in a white tux, but I keep it street. You want me to send, but
No problem for me, but what kind of head game comes with what I...
Returned with a show that's more fire, with hot topics and real answers to life questions, and providing healing for your soul. It's the all-new Donna Colleone Show, podcasting live weekdays at noon, Eastern Standard Time, on WGNSG.
Yeah. something on my mind. Won't somebody please tell me what's wrong?
You're just a fool.
my body, my body telling me yeah, baby, I don't wanna hurt nobody, but there is something that I must confess
to you.
What you need, girl.
Oh, baby, bring your body
here. Bring your body here. I'm not fooling around with you. Baby, my love is true with you.
Your truth, my truth, and the truth. People say one thing and do another. We call them hypocrites. This is Queenie Fama, the truth terror. And that's what I look for. I look for the truth. Join me on Sunday on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. That's Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Queen-Ifama. I look forward to seeing you 6 p.m. on Sundays. Come join me. Let's get down to the butt-naked truth. Hotep, everybody.
I just want to tell the truth. The truth. The truth.
I think you're a hater. I think you're a hater.
That bitch a liar.
This retrograde really has some folks tripping. So because I honor the universe, and the universe is sending us trippy vibes, I figured let's run with it. My ancestors told me not to change the day and time of the show, but because I'm just so trifling, I refuse to listen to them. So please join me, Jolly Ali, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. for Less Blank, where we can discuss why people are taking everything so personally.
Niggas always talk, but I run the plot. Unfold all the knots, expose the half-knot. Click, click, pop, pop, pop.
Yo, what up, man? It's your boy Joe Dodd from Atlanta Hawks. I'm chilling with Dawn Nicole Young and TheHeat.com. Holla at your boy. Later.
What it do, y'all? It's the girl Rashida. You know I'm holding it down for Dawn Nicole Young.
This is your boy Verse, and it's chilling right here with Dawn Nicole Young for IndieHeat.com. Make sure you check it out. Keep it locked and loaded. Yeah.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's Jermaine Dupri. You're watching IndieHeat.com with my homegirl, Dawn Nicole Young. You heard? Yeah.
Oh, this is KC Giff, and I'm chilling with IndieHeat.com, Dawn Nicole Young.
Yo, Beat Banger, you're watching IndieHeat.com with Dawn Nicole Young.
What's up? This is Derek J with IndieHeat.com, Dawn Nicole Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're now tuning in to the very best. I'm yours truly, Jazzy Finzel Burgundy, Obama Luther King Jr., Jackson 5 the First, and you watching IndieHeat.com. Hey, therefore, I'll never be deprived of a famous name, will I? Oh, boy.
Yo, this Jagged Edge, we putting it down with IndieHeat.com. Keep it locked right there.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your Vivica Fox, and you are watching and listening to my girl on IndieHeat.com, Dawn Carleon.
You're tuning in to IndieHeat.com. This is Princess saying peace and love and dream. Keep dreaming. Dream big.
Shoot. Man, I told you, IndieHeat. Dawn Carleon.
WGAG Radio, baby. Blog Talk, Dawn Carleon Show. Please believe it.
You already know. That's star power, man. You know, only...
We're so ATL,
man, right now. You know what I mean? You figure deal me?
Yo, it was back in 07, did a couple of tapes, did a couple DVDs, made a couple mistakes, didn't know what I was doing, but I put on a cape, now it's which world's whore should I go on the tape, so you told me I would lose, but I won, I might cop a million Jimmy Choo's just for fun, cause bitches couldn't take what was in me, Australia, Sydney, might run up in Disney, out in LA with Lindsay, got the eye of the tiger, the lion of Judah, now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime, everything I tried to teach them, they gon' see it in time, tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind, got two shows tonight, that's Brooklyn and Dallas, then the private party at the Buckingham Palace, it means I gotta fly like a movie, no commercial, that's young money, cash money, yeah, I'm universal. Mother a couch. Now I'm sitting at the closing, bought my mother a house. You can never understand why I grind like I do. Micaiah and Jelani, why I grind like I do. Cause even when my daddy was on crack, I was cracked. Now the whole album cracked, you ain't gotta skip a track. I ain't gotta get a plaque, I ain't gotta get awards. I just walk up out the door, all the girls will applaud. All the girls will come in, as long as they understand that I'm fighting for the girls that never thought they could win.
Let me get a mic check up in this motherfucker. Y'all already know what time it is. Turn your motherfucking radio up. It's the one and only Dawn Nicole Young.
So all my bad bitches, I can see your halo. Lion of Judah, now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime, everything I tried to teach them, they gon' see it in time, tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind, so all my bad bitches, I could see a halo, see, got the eye of the tiger, the lion of Judah, now it's me and my time, it's just me and my prime, everything I tried to teach them, they gon' see it in time, tell them bitches get a stick, I'm done leading the blind, so all my bad bitches, I could see a halo, all the girls will come in, as long as they understand that I'm fighting for
for the girls that never.
Yeah, I've been doing this shit since I was 18. Can't none of y'all hoes touch this shit. Y'all bitches been hollering 4 years on BTR. Check my resume, bitch. Y'all hoes elementary to this shit. Universal knowledge done master this motherfucker. Come up to my level.
Stay materialistic ass. Common desire, stink, ugly ass. Vibrate low on a different level ass, bitch. You can't touch this shit, bitch. The best bitch doing it. That's right. The best bitch doing it to the county you. Put your hands together for the woman of the hour, Dawn Nicoleone.
Hello. Welcome everybody to the Dawn Nicoleone Show. Is my mic open?
Yes, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. Wow, okay, so it looks like Dawn doesn't have her voice, you guys. So, you know I'm talking. This is Pretty Brown Eyes. Welcome to the Dawn Nicoleone Show. Analyze That Fridays. We're going to send some energy to Dawn so she can get her voice back. I don't know what happened. Any hand claps, applause, or anything? There we go, you hear me? Okay. What are we going to get into first? We're going to get into the news because I'm not in front of my laptop. Hold on. Hold on. All right. Thank you.
Must not have been paying attention. I stepped right on in it, didn't even notice how deep I was. I went from the ground to the top of the cloud. And now as I look down, I see where I fell into your arms. Now I got love all over me. Baby, you touch every part of me. Ooh, I got love all over me. And I don't wanna give it up. I'm completely covered up in your love. Even my skin is changing. Oh, I'm feeling warmer, no more rice, blue eyes for me. You put the color back. Everybody.
Corleone Show. You already know how we do it. We podcast live weekdays 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/WGAG-radio. Believe, believe, Georgia Gossip, IndieHeat.com, and I'm your host, Donna Corleone. Yeah. Man, we had to use, oh, special shout out to all y'all in the chat room, man. What's happening with you? I had to use pretty for a minute, you know, because goddamn it takes a... I'm going to explain to y'all how this works. It's kind of a blessing and a curse for me because if I don't use my voice for a certain amount of time and when I finally get ready to speak, it's like warming up your car. You know, if you got to crank it up and then get that motherfucker a minute. You go pat on if you got an old raggedy-ass car. You got to pat the gas for a little bit, then start that thing up. That's how my voice works. If I don't use it, and I think I haven't spoken about maybe 12 hours. So if I don't use my vocals, every time when I get ready to speak, it's like warming up. So I have to warm up my vocals. And because I got here, because I didn't have nobody to talk to when I got here early to, you know, warm my vocals up or not, because I don't talk to my fucking self, believe it or not. I really don't. I cannot have a conversation with myself. So because I had nobody to talk to, I'm like, this is going to be fucking hard. It's going to be hard. Time was winding down and shit. Almost time to do the show, and my voice still takes a minute. Ain't that something? It's kind of like a, you know, it's interesting, right? You know, it's kind of like a curse. Like, bitch, you're supposed to, like, I'm supposed to talk 24 hours a day in order to keep talking. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to let you know your mic is open. I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
But I appreciate you, though. Man, y'all give pretty a hand, man. That was, like, in the last minute, man. Sometimes I might do that, get a random motherfucker to help me out. Give her E for effort. Give her E for effort. He's like, oh, hello. Is my mic going? No, but it takes a minute. That's crazy, ain't it, pretty?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm like, you know, I mean, for real, if I don't talk, then... You know what I'm saying? It's like it shuts down. And then it takes
right.
a minute for it to come back. Every time.
Mm.
Yep.
Interesting.
Ain't that some shit? Like, bitch, you shouldn't have stopped talking. That's what happens when you shut up. Every time, never fails. This has been going on for the past, I don't know, 7, 8 years in my life. It started 8 years ago. Anyway, that's that, man. So, shit, I have... Damn, buddy, little clap motherfucker is late. I have no news. Well, no news is good news, right? What's going on in the news? I do got a little something. Clifton Powell. Y'all know Clifton Powell, right? Y'all know Clifton Powell?
Oh, yeah.
The black actor?
Yeah, what about him?
He basically told Spike Lee... I'll beat your punk ass.
Really?
Yes. Told Spike Lee, I'll beat your punk ass. Of course, you know, that was his message. He visited the Russ Parr Morning Show, and when asked about the Tyler Perry-Spike Lee feud, he responded by saying, Spike Lee is a motherfucking hater. Fuck that nigga. He said, I don't like Spike Lee, for real. I'm just saying it publicly on the radio. Spike is a hater. He was doing all these movies. Sam and all these guys know he's a hater. He kept all the money. There was lawsuits against him. I'm from the streets, and you got to carry your people. We talk about what the man does. He put in quotes, we talk about what the man does. Spike Lee need to go sit his punk ass down and stop talking about Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry was homeless about 10, 12 years ago, and Spike Lee wasn't writing him no checks. I think it's wrong, and I shouldn't do this, but I don't like Spike Lee because I don't like his politics as it pertains to how he deals with African Americans. I've auditioned for Spike several times. He kept all of us waiting for hours. It was insulting. He's made people fly across the country, pay for themselves, and come to auditions. Sp- Spike is the worst, and he needs to go sit his punk ass down. If you got a problem with it, Spike, I'm right here, and I'll beat your punk ass, you little short Jiminy Cricket motherfucker. You little piece of shit. You shut the fuck up, Spike Lee. You ain't did a goddamn thing for no motherfucking body. And that's what he said. That's that. And what he said. That's basically what he told Spike Lee, man. That's what he told Spike Lee. Huh?
I said, well, all right.
Man, me and Jali got into a big fucking goddamn argument over Spike Lee and, what that nigga name? Spike Lee and goddamn, what that motherfucker name? What that woman name? What that girl name? Spike Lee and Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry.
Oh.
We got into a big-ass argument on my show, at one of the late-night show with Don Nicole Young. I don't know where the fuck he was, goddamn. Pretty during that time.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, I'm listening.
Oh, shit. I think this Jali right now. I'm going to ignore her. Shout out. We ain't finna start that shit again. Come on. Come on in, Jali. Welcome, Jali Ali, to the Donna Colleon Show.
How you doing today, Don?
I'm good. What you got? How you doing?
I don't know. Clifton was talking about Spike Lee in terms of his employees don't like him, or was he talking about Tyler Perry? Because didn't we just hear something about Tyler Perry, you know, his people suing him, right? Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so was Clifton talking about Tyler Perry, or was he talking about Spike Lee?
He was talking about Spike Lee.
Well, that's confusing. Because Tyler Perry just got told on by his employees talking about, you know, he don't pay them and, you know, he don't do shit and that kind of stuff. So that was confusing.
Well, I mean, I know you had to find something. You know what I'm saying? I know you had to find something. Okay? I know you had to find something, Charlie.
Well, I mean, his whole point was weak. He actually said Spike Lee makes people fly across the country on their own dime to audition. Yes, that's the fuck how it's done. Who the fuck pays you to come audition for them when you're nobody?
That's not how it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that was weird
for him to say.
He said you're supposed to carry people on your back or some shit like that, right?
I don't know about that. I don't know that.
Your people. Wait, let me find that shit. Oh, there it is. He said, I'm from the streets, and you got to carry your people. We talk about what the man does. Spike Lee needs to go sit his punk ass down and stop talking about Tyler Perry. That's what he said.
Well, first of all, Clifton Powell, sir, Spike Lee was talking shit back in 2009. The fact that you just brought this shit, like, the fact that Tyler and his camp keep bringing this shit up, it makes them look like more dumbasses than Spike Lee.
Right. Say what?
For me?
Charlie, say what?
I was saying that the fact that they keep bringing this shit up 3 years later makes them look like dumbasses.
Oh, that him being homeless? Or what? Bringing up what 3 years later?
You know, Spike Lee's comments about Tyler Perry was back in 2009.
Are you fucking serious that shit went yesterday?
No, ma'am. That shit was back in 2008 or 2009.
Are you fucking
that
serious?
That shit was old. Yeah.
Are you motherfucking serious?
Yeah.
That shit went yesterday.
Mm-mm. That shit was old news.
Goddamn Mishmau say, Jali, what the fuck he got? Stop. Spike ain't did shit here in Brooklyn. I can see. Mushmouth says, Jali, he got stopped. He ain't did shit here in Brooklyn. He can see.
Okay.
I mean, that was my whole thing about Spike Lee. You know what I'm saying? And he did make a statement. I put it on Georgia Gossip. He actually, Tyler Perry comes out and make a statement on the Monique show about, I'm not sure if I can find it, about this, all this bullshit that, you know, Spike Lee has been saying. But I think that, you know, I mean, I know Spike Lee, I mean, Tyler Perry is a, you know, successful woman. And I think she handled her own on the Monique show. I think she did a goddamn good job. You know, like, she don't need a whole bunch of other bitches, you know, trying to motherfucking, I mean, she did good. I mean, let me find it for y'all motherfuckers. I mean, I think, you know, Tyler did a really good job, you know, explaining, you know, the bullshit with Spike Lee and basically said, you know, let's come together and let's work. You know, we ain't got time for all that bullshit. Spoken like a real woman, right? Spoken like a real woman. I mean, only a real woman say some shit like that. You know, big ups, man. Like, baby, can we just resolve our issues, nigga, and get together and break bread? I mean, this is some bullshit. We fighting over some petty shit. Big ups, Spike. I mean, whatever the fuck his name is. I can't never say that.
He's the only one fighting over the petty shit. Spike Lee literally answered a question that was asked to him. That's not fighting. That's answering the question.
Yeah, but it started. No, because then he say some shit. What the fuck did he tell Tyler Perry? The headlines read. I can't remember. I haven't, you know, the story don't really stay in the front of my mind. What did
he didn't say shit to Tyler Perry. He was in a fucking interview on a TV show, and they were addressing the image of blacks in America. So, of course, Tyler Perry is going to come up when we're talking about the image of blacks in America. And Spike Lee stated his opinion about it, and Spike Lee actually said he's not hating on him, but he said we can do better. That's what the fuck Spike Lee said. That's not fighting. Only Tyler Perry's fighting. He's fighting with his own fucking self.
Yeah, but remember that comment back in the days, you know, he came out on the radio and said that Tyler Perry should be boycotted. You remember that? It's finally coming back. It was a while ago, that boycott shit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he made that statement, Tyler Perry should be boycotted. You remember? He started it.
I don't.
You don't remember that? Anybody remember that? When he said Tyler Perry should be boycotted. That shit was, goddamn, felt like last year or a year before. Shit. One of them goddamn things. I even asked motherfuckers on the show what they think about that shit. Yeah. And then this. And then this. And then that. And now here come this, you know, Clifford ass motherfucker like she can't, you know, defend herself.
No, Clifford sounds like he's pissed off because he didn't, you know what I'm saying, get favored with Spike Lee. That's what this shot sounds. I mean, that's what his shit sounds like. His shit sounds like he's just pissed off that he didn't get, you know, recurring roles in Spike Lee shit, just like, you know, Giancarlo Esposito's ass. He just sounds like he's mad up that he's not in the fucking Spike Lee lineup like the normal cast of characters.
Yeah. So did Tyler get him a job somewhere?
Clifton.
Yeah.
Y'all
seen him in any
IMDb
Tyler Perry movies? You know, my daughter called me last night pissed off about Tyler Perry, right? I tried to record her conversation on my cell phone so y'all can hear that shit. She called her, right, my 15-year-old. She was like, "Mama, Tyler Perry must think we stupid." I said, "What, Sananda, what's going on? Why you say that?" I'm just saying he must think we fucking stupid. I'm watching Meet the Browns and shit, and he pulls out the girls, whoever, pulls out a cell phone, one of them flip phones, you know, like the one Tierra got, right? And I say, mm-hmm. She said, well, and then, you know, he said that the video message came through his phone, and then he flipped it open, and then they supposed to look at the video message. He think we fucking stupid. That phone don't even come with video messages. She said that phone never came with goddamn video. God damn, boy. Well, she called pissed off. Like, that nigga trying to trick us, mama. Okay, that wasn't funny.
I just realized who Clifton Powell was.
Okay.
You know, stand on my statement that nigga is a hater from way back. That nigga is an inbred hater. Like, that nigga, all he do is motherfucking hate. I'm glad I saw his picture and realized who the fuck I was talking about
But look at this shit.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
he looks, and he, what's fucked up
shit.
About it, though, Jalee, he really looks like a hater, don't he?
He's a hater.
He looks like a hater. Not just that he might be one, that nigga look like he's a hater.
He sure do.
That's a fucked up shit when a nigga look like he a fucking hater. Yeah.
That makes him easier to pick out.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving right along. So, did y'all hear about this so-called attack on, Tyler Perry grandmama? On Madea. Al-Qaeda said they're going to kill Madea.
What?
You heard
what?
About it?
No.
No. Who killed who? What?
Say what?
Who's killing who?
Al-Qaeda said they're going to kill Madea.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. They got,
okay.
They got security around, his grandmammy's house, grandmama.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, so
why did the news make it a point to say step-grandmother? They so ignorant. Black people don't do shit like that. See, how the fuck you going to be someone's step-grandmother?
I mean, because it's garbage. I mean, it's white people for you. They call their dolls their babies, their children and shit. That's crackers for you. It's expected. It's expected of crackers. Here it is. For those who, I put it in the chat room if y'all ain't saw it or want to see it again. I hit it. Oh, no, that's not happening. Oh, hell no. We got to get that shit a minute. But I'll play a little, 2-second clip of ABC News report says that Al-Qaeda, they say, threatens Obama's grandmother. You know that's a lie, right?
Well, Obama's grandmother, okay.
Y'all know that's a lie, right?
Okay. I thought he said Tyler. Okay.
I said Madea for the hell of it. Okay. But you know that's a lie, right?
Well, it gotta be.
Huh?
Well, I said it gotta be a lie. It's all lies.
They just need reason to get their ass over there.
Uh-oh, here it is. Damn, my bad, y'all. Rewind this shit back.
Police in Kenya tell ABC News this morning they have substantially increased security at the compound surrounding the home of President Obama's grandmother, Sarah Obama, following threats from the Somali affiliate of Al-Qaeda called Al-Shabaab. Known as Mama Sarah or Granny, she is the president's step-grandmother in her late 80s and lives near other relatives, including the president's half-brother. Officials say security at the compound was increased after Obama's election in 2008, but will now include patrols round the clock because of the threats that were made in the days immediately after the death of bin Laden. It is one of more than a dozen specific threats that have come following the raid of bin Laden's compound, where U.S. Navy SEALs recovered a boatload of documents that U.S. officials continue to analyze and decode. And so far, the writings reveal bin Laden directed his followers to spread out his attacks beyond New York and kill as many Americans as possible.
You know them motherfuckers full of shit. Full of motherfucking shit.
They kill as many Americans as possible. Really? Really? That's what he said. Let's kill as many Americans as possible.
Talking about they still got to decode it, but that shit did say goddamn kill many Americans as possible, right? That we still decoding this shit. Hey, right there. There it is. Say that right there. Get the fuck out of here with that.
You know what they're doing? In a minute, they're fitting to send Obama's third cousin once removed to China and make that their reason for being over there protecting his ass. And then they're going to start some shit, and then we're going to be at war with China. I mean, I'm telling you, this shit is too easy. It's just so predictable.
So do you believe the fact that there's a hit on his grandmama?
Did you see his grandmama? She looked like she could take care of her own motherfucking self.
Man,
she looked
like she wasn't even hurting. And it looked like it's an old video. It looked like that's an old video. But did you see how they put the paper in her hand? Did you see the news?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all see it? I put the damn shit in the chat room, okay? I want y'all to see how they put the goddamn newspaper in her hand. He on the front page, and it says, Obama does it again. I mean, you know, like, you know, here, hold the paper. Hold the paper.
Like she's scrapbooking it.
All right, let's go. Zoom in. Zoom in. Action. Like, what the fuck is that shit? And what's funny is, like, are you fucking serious? Like, so where is the security? Why is there a little boy next
little
to
little boy sitting on the porch.
Where the fuck is the security, motherfucker? You are not going to have me to believe that y'all came all the way down there to put a newspaper in her hand and not going to show me no security? How you get them cameras down there?
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
It was a long road.
What the fuck? They was in a tree?
I was waiting to see the beast of security. I was waiting to see niggas with guns standing around an African village looking dumb as fuck, but we didn't even get to see that. I was ready to see snipers in a tree somewhere just, you know, saying, you know, fucking where's Waldo and his motherfucker? We got nothing. We got her reading a newspaper and a little boy on the porch.
Yeah, man. I mean, come on. I hope y'all don't believe that lie. Goddamn, Huey popped up. No, Savannah popped up in this motherfucker and said, I would not be shocked if they killed her just for the hell of it, just to make it look legit. God damn. Nah, they would probably say they killed her. And she still be down there in some goddamn village chilling. That's not gonna cut it. Huh?
Eating fufu and shit. Mind her own damn business, not dying of AIDS like they want us to believe all Africans are doing.
Fuck yeah. Ain't this some shit?
I love it. Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
All right,
so I guess we passed that one, huh? That wasn't all that, huh? We move on. We know they, you know, why they keep trying? Why don't they just go ahead and just set up your TSA, Nate? Just go ahead and do what you're going to do and do it quickly. Stop lying to these motherfuckers. You want to put these niggas under goddamn strict goddamn punishment and shit in America. Just start that shit. Fuck it. You ain't got to lie. Just do it.
Did you see the video you put up of on Georgia Gossip when they were interviewing The Sun?
Oh.
At the end of the interview.
You took the words right out of my head. I'm about to play it. Hold on, let me click on it so they can see it in the chat room. If you're a member of Georgia Gossip, you ain't a member of Georgia Gossip, you ain't going to be able to see it. But it is on the front page, but I'll put the link in. Anyways, on the front page of Georgia Gossip. Now, this is some bullshit. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the so-called son? This is some old bullshit. All right. I'm glad we smart. God damn. I'm so glad we smart. That means a lot. I ain't bullshitting. Gotta be smart these days. Gotta be intelligent.
Yeah.
Gotta believe everything.
You can't watch. No. Mm-mm. You must not believe with these people. You gotta figure out what they not telling your ass. That's what you gotta do.
Oh, yes. There it is. Let me see if they're gonna do a stupid commercial on this bitch.
Xiaomi tablet?
Blackberry. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Yep. Yeah, I peeped that little lying motherfucker. Especially the news. It's really the news be lying. The news with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
mm-hmm.
on the payroll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is speaking out about the death of his father, Bin Laden's family lashed out today. Harsh words for President Obama, claiming that the U.S. raid in Pakistan broke the law. And Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross has the latest tonight on the words from the family of the al-Qaeda terrorist.
Bin Laden's fourth son, 30-year-old Omar, says he left his father in disgust the year before the 9/11 attacks. But he told ABC News recently he still cared for him.
I still love him so much and with all my heart.
In written statements today, Omar and other family members condemned the U.S. raid that killed Bin Laden, calling it an assassination of an unarmed man in violation of international law. The Bin Laden family also called for the release of the three Bin Laden wives who all lived under the same roof in the Pakistan compound. The U.S. is seeking to interrogate them, Amal, the youngest, along with Kareya and Siham. They have all been with Bin Laden since before 2001.
What I'd really want to know from Osama Bin Laden's wives is what sort of individuals he met with. what information he may have been involved in terms of terrorist attacks overseas.
Bin Laden's youngest wife was given to him as a teenager from her tribe in Yemen, a marriage arranged by this cleric, Sheikh Rashad, who told ABC News the bride never complained about bin Laden. Amal has never made him upset, the cleric told us, with reprisal or guilt for not offering her a better lifestyle. Bin Laden required his wives to strictly follow the Quran, put aside jealousy, and provide sex when called.
Fulfilling the desires of the you know, male leader or the husband in the family is a very important duty for women.
Pakistani authorities said today that while one bin Laden son was killed in last week's raid, a second one is supposedly missing. Authorities say it may be Hamza bin Laden, seen in this video as a teenager at an Al-Qaeda training camp. Pakistani authorities are suggesting the missing son may have escaped, although a U.S. official told me today the U.S. is extremely confident, Diane, that no one got away.
And to be clear, Omar bin Laden, whom we saw in the piece, his mother was not in that compound.
She was not. She and he and his mother fled 2000.
So
before the attacks.
They fled earlier. Okay, Brian, thank you.
Okay, so it got to be an innocent son, right?
Yeah.
It got to be Jesus, the only begotten son.
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. All right, now tell me, since you took the words out of my head about this damn video, what you got, Jolly?
Well, the first thing that struck me as odd was, what in the fuck does Bin Laden's sex life have to do with us?
Exactly.
Like, why are we talking about his wife's sexual duties? What the fuck does that, what the hell, where is that going to lead to? Well,
exactly.
His wives never complained. Complained of what the, like, what are you getting? What the fuck are you playing? Well, you know, it's their Islamic duty to fuck their husbands. What the fuck does that have to do with anything relevant to what we're asking? That shit is totally irrelevant.
Exactly. Totally irrelevant.
They actually took time out of their damn interview to interview someone else about
but here's what's crazy, right? Check what's crazy. Did they not say a couple of news footages ago that the wives were captured in that little so-called letter or something about the son wrote? They were already captured and they're already put in some type of United States holding cell.
Yep.
So in this news shit, it says that the U.S. is seeking to interrogate them.
Mm-hmm.
You got them already. How can you be seeking?
Yep.
How can you be seeking to interrogate some motherfuckers you already say you got?
Yep. And notice how they said they're missing someone, but then they followed it up real quickly. Nope, we got everybody. We're missing this motherfucker, but nope, we're confident we've gotten everybody. So why,
but
did you bring
the shit that fucked me up is when in the very beginning that nigga said, we spoke with Omar bin Laden recently. And then showed the footage that shit said 2008. I'm like, nigga, recently, nigga, you spoke, that shit supposed to been yesterday. That's recent, nigga. You know how long goddamn 2008 is from goddamn May 2011? You lying motherfucker. That video, as soon as they switched to the video, when that nigga said, I love my father. I still love my father. That shit is 2008, you lying motherfuckers. We spoke to his son recently. No, the fuck you didn't. Boy. Y'all got to stop believing all this bullshit. But I'm glad we don't, boy. Everybody on the Don DeColeon show, boy, we don't fall for shit, do we? We don't drop our draws for none of y'all. Yeah! That's what's up. All right, well, moving right along into some more other file shit. I'm sure y'all, if y'all read the article on Georgia Gossip, the love of money is the root of all evil. You read that shit about how they tried to fuck Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon up?
Yeah, that shit was extremely disgusting. I was totally disgusted by that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, on Tuesday, a woman from the Department of Child Protective Services showed up at the LA area hospital where Mariah was breastfeeding her twins, Monroe and Rock. Fuck you doing naming your babies that stupid shit. Monroe and Rock.
No, one is named Morocco. They got that wrong.
Oh, one is named Morocco.
Yeah, one is named Morocco.
Lord. They couldn't figure it out, huh?
Yeah.
What's the other one name?
I don't know, but they was trying to clown him, making it seem like it was negative. Yeah, Monroe. One is named Monroe, and the other one is named Morocco. Morocco and Monroe. Yep. After Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the twins were born 2 weeks prematurely, and therefore they had a higher bilirubin level in their blood than normal full-term babies. So they required a week's nap inside an incubator under ultraviolet lights to decrease their jaundice, okay? Friedman's story goes that Carrie wasn't lactating enough to feed both babies, so a nurse in the NICU suggested that she drink a bottle of Guinness stout beer to stimulate lactation and increase milk production in her breast. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, the social worker told Nick Cannon, knocked on the door, told Nick Cannon she was following up on a claim of neglect called in by a hospital staffer or a tabloid reporter. Okay. Mm. Because Carrie was drinking alcoholic beer and taking pain pills for her C-section and what they say her rumored tummy tuck while breastfeeding. The social worker, in cahoots with a nurse, was hoping she could get a picture of the babies to sell to the tabloids. But Cannon intervened, so no pictures were allowed. In response to the attempt scam, Nick Cannon comes out, and he's a little so according to the article, said he was horrified. And his comment is taxpayer money was wasted because this was labeled an emergency. It is ridiculous. Aside from the scam, though, which is clearly illegal, would a nurse really suggest that a postpartum patient drink alcoholic beer to stimulate breast milk production?
Yes.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, and it works. I mean, it's an old trick. I mean, especially if the nurse was either, you know, from the island or something, it's a trick that they use, and it does work, and the child does not get addicted to fucking beer. Like, it's not that dramatic. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a trick they use when your shit's not coming down. If you've attempted to, you know, do something else, they'll tell you, you know, maybe you want to sip a little on some Guinness. And
yeah, but that's real foul, right, how they goddamn added the nurse and then the fucking caseworker or social worker to get money so that the tabloids can get pictures of their babies. That's some old foul shit.
It is. That's some fuck shit right there.
Mm.
But big ups to Nick Cannon for knowing better, right?
Yeah, he was like, nah, bitch, you ain't coming in this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, ho. So I just want to come in and check on the babies, make sure they're okay, got a report for neglect. Let me come in. Can I see the nursery? Nah, ho, get your bitch ass out of here, you bitch. You bastard. You fake hoe. You bitch. You black devil. I bet you two nickels it was a white bitch, though. Might be a black bitch, too, man. Black bitches don't love their fucking mouth. I can't stand them. All right, so, yeah, that's trifling. That's some trifling-ass shit. All day long, that's trifling.
Yeah, it is.
But, over some goddamn money. Over, I mean, you going to... Goddamn, man.
My
that's why money is not the root of evil, all evil. It's the love of money.
Absolutely.
People have been saying it wrong. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Gotta be careful. All right, so, of course, it's been all in the news and shit. I don't know if y'all remember Mia Amber Davis, the plus-size model. Do y'all remember that? No? Y'all don't know her? Well, she died yesterday. She was in the movie Road Trip, you know, and nobody knows, right? Nobody gives two shits about her, right?
No, I care. I just don't know her.
Okay, did you see the clip I put up on Georgia Gossip?
I did.
Of her that in the bed with the white boy?
Yeah.
You saw what, Fireliners? Well, God bless her soul and may she rest in peace. I wonder, you know, and it was crazy because the article, I didn't put the article up explaining, you know, her reason or how she passed, but they said that she went in for knee surgery and whatever the fuck they gave her killed her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did you
whatever they
knee
gave
thing?
Her killed her. Just fell dead. Isn't that something? Fireline says, like Kanye's mother. Yeah, probably. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible it could have been a Kanye mother attempt. Yeah, whatever they gave a kid. I don't know what it is. She also is known for, like, a debate. And I don't have it. It's my fault. I think it's on Black Voices. Let me go to Black Voices. And I'm putting the debate up. It's kind of crazy because she was debating with this white chick. I wish she would have called me. I would have been there for her. You know what I'm saying? On, you know, what's that shit called? On obesity. And you know what I'm saying? You got to fucking listen to this shit. Let me pull it up, Black Voices. Is it Black Voices? Is that the name of their paper?
I feel like it.
Yeah, blackvoices.com. Weird. Yeah, that's it. Uh-oh. Okay, let me see if I can find her. They probably took her head down off the front page. Oh, there it is. All right, listen to this shit, because this shit here, it's kind of sad, though. But here it is. She's on CNN Live, and the topic is obesity strains the budget, the U.S. budget. Okay, y'all?
A new study that was just put out by the CDC finds that nearly 10% of what the country spends on health care is attributable to obesity, $147 billion a year, double what it was a decade ago. In grief and in dollars, that is a heck of a tab. Still, there are those who say we may be scapegoating overweight people for the nation's health care crisis. And joining us right now about this, Mimi Roth of the National Action Against Obesity,
Mimi
and actress
Roth
Mia Amber Davis, who
is
creative editor at large for Plus Model magazine. Welcome to both of you. Good
Thank
to have you.
You
here.
Thank you.
So, Mimi, let me start with you on this first. And just what do you make of the numbers? $147 billion is a lot of dough.
Yeah. You know, look, if you wanted to make a nation fat, we have set our culture up to do exactly that. It's like we're living in a brothel and no one's allowed to have sex. Everywhere you go, there's one temptation after another. Surprise, there's anyone left in this country who isn't overweight.
So get to the heart of the problem in terms of what you think we ought to do.
Well, we need to make good food, real food, produce available, cheap, accessible to everyone. We're not doing that. We need to have recreation places that are safe and easy to access for everyone. We're not doing that. We've got junk food in the school. We've got marketing junk food to children. We're not doing what it takes to correct the problem, but the economics of it are shifting. Big Pharma's made a bundle on obesity. The weight loss industry has made a bundle. Beverage and food have made a bundle. We're seeing that we're picking up the tab and we're pushing back.
So, Mia, is there to you a sense of blame the victim, of scapegoating people who are overweight, and when you see a study like this?
Definitely, 100%. It's that sizeism is the last acceptable prejudice. If you see someone who's overweight, automatically they're the reason for America's problems in the healthcare industry, that's absolutely not true. I know plenty of people who are normal size, who are straight size as opposed to plus size, who have health issues. I don't know anyone in my circle of friends, in my family, in the millions of women that I reach out, the plus size advocate, that have health issues related to being overweight.
Well, the truth is, if you're obese, you are unhealthy. You're awash in extra estrogen. People don't realize this. If you're a man, woman, or child, you have extra estrogen coursing through your body because of the obesity.
Okay.
You have orthopedic problems.
But
you're inflamed.
I know a lot of skinny people who are really unhealthy.
That's
too.
True. Do you know what? But I think tonight we're talking about obesity. But you're absolutely right. Starvation or improper eating
but,
is a problem.
I mean, the point you're
spectrum.
Making is that obesity is a large part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Of our healthcare
here's
crisis.
What the numbers are. We only have, Reuters reported that only 8% of us don't smoke, drink moderately, eat the fruits and vegetables we're supposed to eat, and exercise regularly. So really, fat or thin, only 8% of us are even trying in this country, but we're eating ourselves into obesity, which means we're eating ourselves into diabetes, dementia, heart disease, cancer. Did you know that a third of all cancer is obesity related?
But overweight does not mean unhealthy. I've been off the charts since I was 12 years old, and I'm perfectly healthy.
You have a higher incidence of infertility, pregnancy complications, low sperm count, and there's even a higher incidence of birth defects when it comes to obesity. So don't argue me. Argue with Darwin.
Go ahead. I'm not arguing you. I'm just saying that we are the last acceptable prejudice.
It's not a choice about eating.
I think that that's insulting, actually.
Well, it's what the numbers show. Nine times out of ten, no one asked me.
There was no poll. I never participated in any poll. I've never had a health issue, so I'm not included in that.
Is there anyone that I know? Well, I come from a long line of obesity, and I know how hard it is to stay at a healthy weight. It really takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of motivation. It's not easy.
So I work out four times a week.
Which you were supposed to be working out every day.
I work out four times a week with a trainer. That is my workout. That's not what I do the rest of the three days of a week. Right. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to say that stop blaming overweight people or obese people for America's problems. It's not our fault.
Mimi, let me follow up on the point Mia is making, because, I mean, look, you're a very thin woman, but there are a lot of people who genetically have a much harder time.
And I'm in that category. It's actually, I've always had to watch my weight. I'm very mindful of what I eat. I run at least 4 miles every single day. It is a hard choice if your genetics aren't helping you out. But the truth is, genetics is not explaining a tripling of obesity in the last 3 decades. We cannot become obese in the absence of food. It's not a genetic situation.
So where do you draw the line? Are you suggesting that if you're, you know, if you don't hit a certain weight, if you're overweight, that you should be paying higher health
insurance? No, I'm a big fan of changing the culture to make it easier for all of us to be healthy. And I'm a big fan of the sweet and soft drink tax. I think we tax things that are ubiquitous and non-essential like that. We can earmark that money for prevention and easy access and cheaper produce. We need to make those kinds of changes.
I'm so tired of people charging people because they're overweight. I mean,
No. It's about anyone who's doing
airports and people just talking about if you're overweight, you should pay more and it's your fault. Stop blaming us. It's not about accessibility. It's about the blame. It's like we're a target, but yet we're invisible everywhere else. Media doesn't showcase overweight people. Overweight women are not seen in Hollywood. It's like, why are we being targets, but yet we're invisible everywhere else?
It's hard to find clothing.
It's hard to find adequate seating arrangements. It's hard to find so many things because of we're a nation of size and we're not being catered to.
Hold on. I want to ask Mia this, too, because you mentioned this, and the head of the CDC, although it's not the administration's policy, they have raised this idea of taxing soda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think? I mean, does that sound crazy to you?
It sounds crazy to me because it's soda. I don't drink soda personally. So it's like you're saying that if I drink soda, I will become fat.
I'm not talking about who's fat or not. They're talking about anyone who drinks these sweetened drinks. And we know that the single greatest source of our calories in the American diet is sweetened drinks. So, again, it's ubiquitous. It's non-essential. It's a great place for us to raise $100 and possibly $200 billion in the next decade. And, again, you're talking about a one-cent tax per ounce. So it's a great place to get some money to help subsidize fresh, not corn, but maybe some broccoli or avocados. And also, I'm a big fan of Harkin's plan to make sure that we have calories posted on all menu boards across the country, not just in New York.
Right.
We want to inform
We're
consumers.
Almost out of time. I just want to give Mia the last word on this.
Stop blaming overweight people for America's problems. If you are gay, you can play straight. If you are a certain religion, you can play another religion. You can't hide the fact that you're overweight, and nor do we want to. I'm proud of the way I look. I'm proud of my body. I'm proud of all my friends and the hard work that we do to maintain our curves. So stop us for America's healthcare issues, because I am not a part of that plan.
The studies don't back you up, and 9 times out of 10, obesity is the result of lifestyle choices.
I'm not included in those studies.
All right, guys, I wish we could go on. I mean, I think the difference is over whether or not
Let me say, I wasn't included in them goddamn studies. Lord Jesus. I wasn't included in them goddamn studies, bitch. Stop, white bitch. Stop calling me some motherfucking studies, you skank bitch. Come on in. Welcome.
Ooh.
Nigga Simone to the
Donna
Gogo Young Show.
Hi.
How you doing?
Guys, I'm good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Can you turn up your mic a little bit?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me
Oh, no, you good now. I can hear you now.
Okay. All right.
What you got for us?
Well, I got to commend, dearly departed sister for holding her composure. And as far as the whole overweight thing, I think that's crazy to target overweight people like that. I agree with everything the sister said. So I wish I had more to say, but I agree with what she said. And I felt like her opponent in the debate was a little bit, was a little bit extra. So.
Oh, she was totally aggressive. She was aggressive.
And it, you know what's funny? It reminds me of I'm a real estate agent, so I mostly get to work alone. I don't have to necessarily be in the office and mingle and mix with these people, but it can definitely wear on your nerves having to be around them acting like that, acting aggressive like that towards you. And a lot of times, because you're black, they feel like they could just run all over you in a debate and act like what you have to say doesn't matter and disrespect you. Yes. And talk over you and just in everyday life, going into the office and having to deal with them. So it just brought back, incidents in my life where I had to deal with them in an arena like that. And, but Mia definitely held her own. So,
Yeah, well, God bless her soul. What the fuck her name? Mia Amber Rose actually made her transition, died yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, at the age of 36. They had knee surgery, and the next thing you know, she came out, just basically dropped dead shortly after the knee surgery, some medication.
Can I say this, though? I had read on another website that her family didn't want to release the reason for her death. So I was thinking, actually, when I heard the knee surgery thing, like, maybe that's not really what it was. Maybe it was like that lap band surgery or something like that, and they just didn't want to say because she was supposed to have been such an advocate for, plus-size individuals. But I don't know about the reason for the death, personally.
Well, I peeped it, too. When they mentioned the knee surgery, and then they said it was not the knee surgery wasn't recent. It was her knee problems wasn't recent. It was a childhood accident she had. She was a child. They made sure they put that in there. But, it is what it is. We're not going to go there. But what fucked me up is I never saw Road Trip, but I did. Because it's right under the article,
Mm-hmm.
And it's right under the article of her scene in the Road Trip, and it's a very sick, it's sick,
the
scene that she chose to do.
Yes, I saw that, and I was like, ugh. She's like in the bed naked with the scrawny-ass white dude.
Yeah, I mean, that shit, it just, I was like, I can't believe this shit. Are you fucking cereal? I couldn't, damn. Boy, the devil is so shrewd, boy. Money. Every man, every woman have their price. That's fucked up. 36, poor thing. God bless her. I think she had a son, too, though, some babies. So, God bless her. But anyway, the obesity thing, man, is the government, are obese people draining the pockets of the government? Yes or no?
I could think of a lot more, other things that drain the pockets of the government versus, obesity. I could think about the fact that most government entities pay double, triple, and quadruple for everything that they use versus, the average person, a cup that'll, the average person will pay $1.50 for, when it's sold to the government, they sell it for like $5 a pop, And, it's so many scams that go on, like, let's address that, Like, let's not pick on overweight
people. What scam? Tell us the scams. What they got?
like the contractors that'll jack up prices for the government. I'm like, okay, I work with the government per se in real estate and what I do, and representing them, and it's ridiculous in this, you know, in a sense, because tax dollars are funding the whole bailout situation, and it's ridiculous how much these contractors will try to charge me when I go try to, you know, get an estimate to repair, you know, a property that's government subsidized or whatever. It's ridiculous a lot of times what a contractor will try to charge me just because they know that I'm connected to a government-sponsored entity. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be funding the job.
Oh, I get
sometimes
it. Yeah, because Jalee said it. Jalee said a fucking bra costs 10 times as much. So are you saying that, really? Is it?
Yeah.
Because she did make a statement. She said, you know, our clothes cost more. Shit like that. Are you serious? I didn't know that.
I'm serious. Sometimes I have to, sometimes what I'll do is I won't even, like, when I'm going to get bids from contractors to do stuff, I won't even let them know. I'll try to make it seem like it's, like, my own company or, you know, like a personal thing versus, okay, this is who I represent, this is who I work for, or this is who I'm an independent contractor for, so that I can get, like, something that makes sense. Because a lot of times they'll try to charge you, like, I mean, it's crazy. They will, like, try to shake you down because they know that you represent the government. So, you know, it's stuff like that. You know, like, let's look at stuff like that where we could,
can I add to that, Nikki, please?
Sure.
A lot of times, like you were just saying, I don't know if people know the process for when, let's say, the state of Massachusetts needs to get some construction done, okay? So what will happen is you'll have different construction companies come in and put in a bid for the job. Now, the construction company, and this happens a lot, by the way, the construction companies who are used to dealing with the government, they will all jack their prices way up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll have, let's say, a not a major construction company, but let's just say a small business kind of construction company who's new to the game. They'll come in and they'll price the job, you know, like reasonable fucking prices. And when those larger construction companies see that shit, they'll put pressure on that smaller construction company to either remove their bid, because if, you know, if you're going to give the government reasonable prices, that means that we can't over fucking charge them. So
they
will either pressure them to remove their bid, or they'll pressure them to jack their prices up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they'll say, if you jack your prices up, you can still put it lower than ours, and you'll get the bid, kind of making it, you know, like the camaraderie once again between the construction companies against the government. Or if you don't want to play, you know, this game with us, we'll fucking shut you out one way or another.
Yep, I've seen it happen.
So, you know, companies who deal with the government absolutely love dealing with the government because you can charge their asses insane amounts of fucking money, and they'll pay it, and they'll pay it not only for, you know, a regular amount of shit, like maybe 20, 30, you know, bras or whatever, but they'll buy it for every fucking jail in the goddamn state. You see? So now you're paying fucking $200 per bra times every fucking jail in the state. So that government spending fucking puts a strain on goddamn government spending.
Yep, exactly. Exactly, Jolie. That's exactly right. Hello?
Yeah.
You lost going.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just enjoying the conversation. I'm learning.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I just tried to get a bid on repairing a roof for a property that's government, that has to be sold for a government-sponsored entity. And it's just a regular single-family house. And, you know, I went to one company, you know, and I didn't let them know all the details, whatever. They priced it at like $4,000, $5,000. And then I went to the government contractor. Do you know how much they tried to charge, they tried to bill or give me an estimate for repairing the roof? Guess. Hello? Can y'all hear me?
How much is a regular price for repairing the roof?
Well, the regular price was like $4,000-some-odd. I don't remember the exact dollar figure, but I know it was between $4,000 and $5,000.
Okay.
That was the regular company. But the government, the government contractor, guess, just guess. I just want to see if you can guess.
$15,000.
Nope.
More
millions.
Yeah, no, not millions.
It's millions. Not for a roof, right? You're not talking about a roof, right? You're just talking about the contract. To get the initial contract on
No. Just I was getting bids to repair a roof. For a single family home, not a company, you know, not a business, not a, you know, whatever.
Not a government entity.
Right. First, the company that I went out and just got the bid from, they didn't really know who I was or who I was representing. Bids between $4,000 and $5,000. Now the government has a company that they generally use, right? So I went to that company that has a contract with the government-sponsored entity, and that's what I'm saying. I got a second bid from them that was almost 10 times the bid that I got from the outside person. So I got a $4,000 bid from the outside person, and I got a $40,000 bid from the government contractor is what I'm saying.
Okay, and you say that to say what?
For the same fucking roof.
Illustrates the point that government contractors jack up their prices, so... You know, government.
Well, okay, so you're saying that they jack up their prices for on you, on people
right.
like you, and, but not the government, or they do it to the government
no,
too?
No,
what
no,
no.
I'm representing the government. So, okay, let me also.
How do you represent the government?
Well, I'm an independent contractor of the government.
By doing what?
Selling homes for them.
So
selling
you,
houses.
Wait. Because to be an independent contractor for the government. Then let me ask you something else. Did you register with the CC&R? You did all of that, and you put your bids in and all of that so that you can be an independent contractor for the government?
No, it's a little bit different with real estate. They have companies that they go through, so I go through one of the companies that they, you know,
like
they
what,
have a
what
contract.
Company? You give us something.
Okay. All right.
Give us a name.
I'm scared to because I don't know who's listening.
Why not?
I'll send it to you privately. Can I do that?
Oh, sure. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Because to say that you know, are a private contractor for the government,
uh-huh.
you know, there's steps that you take. We actually bid for government contracts as well, but there is a procedure that you have to go through.
Right. Well,
to
I'm
bid
not
on it, be it you a government contractor in construction, a government contractor, you know, is that you know, got contracts with the government, whether you're furnishing some of the government buildings, whether you're going to be the janitorial service to clean some of the government buildings that you bid on. It's there are steps that you take.
Right. Well, there's different processes for different types of, you know, vendors, right? So with real estate services, it's a little bit different. You just have to have a real estate, you know, they have certain, you know, criteria that you have to meet, which is criteria that you have to meet in business generally anyways. You have to have a certain type of insurance. You have to, you know, obviously be licensed with the state, and your license has to be in good standing. They have other requirements, like you have to be in business
right,
for
Right, so let me ask you something.
Cause
when you mentioned, okay, so in other words, there's a company that you work for that actually bid on the contract for the government. Is that what you're saying? Bid on government contracts?
No. I mean,
so you threw me off when you said that you do government contracting.
Right.
But that you're a private contractor for the government.
Right, exactly. So, for example, my listing agreements are with this government-sponsored entity, but I'm getting my business.
Okay, like what? Like Fannie Mae?
Right, exactly.
Okay, got you. Okay.
But it's a little bit different because with Fannie Mae, they don't, you know, they don't have, it's not like, okay, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. Da, da, da. I mean, they have, you can go to the website, they tell you the restrictions, and it's not, you know, it's not that, you know, it's not crazy. It's not, you know, you have to be in business for a certain amount of time. You have to be able to, you know, fund, you know, you have to be able to afford to be in business with them, you know, because a lot of times you have to pay the expense up front and then get reimbursed from them. And sometimes if you work with their other contractors, for example, if you have a house that needs repairs, you know, their
and
other
And this is under a Fannie Mae home or a Freddie
right.
Mae house.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I get it.
So, but, okay, so.
So you so, only deal, you only sell inside Fannie Mae and Freddie
right.
Mac? Would you sell to VAs and everybody else who gets their
no,
home?
No, just Fannie Mae.
Just Fannie Mae? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm the agent, and then they have other vendors that they work with for, you know, to do contracting work, because a lot of times we get these houses, you know, there's, you know, all types of issues. So, you know, and then you have the choice. You can either work with their contractors or you can work with Joe Schmo on the street, you know, contractors.
Right, right. I mean, I know how it works.
Right.
Again, I just said that you threw me off when you said you was a private.
No, I am.
Contractor for the government, but I get it. You're a real estate agent, and you only
right.
your target is Fannie Mae.
Right.
You know, customers, people who get their loans from Fannie Mae. I get it.
My customer is Fannie Mae, is what I'm saying.
So how does it work? Okay, you're an agent.
Right.
What happens? Fannie Mae call you and say, hey, we need some houses, what? Or
right.
We need you to sell the house.
And, you know, obviously right now we have a foreclosure crisis. So when the houses go back, some of the houses go to Fannie Mae because Fannie Mae guarantees, you know, the home loan, right, exactly. So Fannie Mae becomes the owner now of the foreclosure home, and they need to get it sold. So they will reach out to agents such as myself who are, you know, like experienced in that specific niche of real
estate.
Right,
okay, and they reach out by doing what? Just sending you an email or giving you a call, or you check the database?
Well, if you're registered with them and they have a home in your area that they need sold, they will contact you. So you have
okay,
to register
and,
with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm asking, and contact you how? And through via email?
Yeah, via
you
email.
Know, it's just, you just
you
check your
email,
email, then it pops
exactly.
up, a few homes available,
exactly.
this, that, or
you
know, you got to be. Now, do you,
you know,
do you?
Are you interested in listing it for us? Right, so we have this home at XYZ address. Are you interested in listing it with us? And
right, okay.
You know, I could say yes or I could say no, depending on whether or not
I get it. I'm clear. Okay. I'm clear now. Okay. I get it. Okay, so back to the construction thing. Your point was saying earlier, so we won't throw anybody off, like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because your point, what Jali and you was discussing earlier
right.
was what?
If you go to Joe Schmo, so I had a roof that needed to be repaired. I went to Joe
right.
Schmo on the street. I didn't know, let him know who I was or who I was representing. I just said, listen, this situation needs to be fixed. How much will you charge me?
And Fannie Mae pays it. So when do you become the gopher between construction and Fannie Mae? I'm trying to figure it out. So it's kind of
okay,
like,
so as an agent,
I thought you was
I have
a real estate agent. Like,
right,
if it's,
you do
when
more
do you become the gopher?
Well, when you're handling foreclosures, it's a little bit different than when you're doing a regular listing. A regular listing, you get the listing, you put it on the market, you sell it, you collect your commission.
Okay, right. I'm familiar with regular listings.
But
okay, tell me about
right,
the foreclosure.
With,
when do you become the gopher and gotta go find the roof?
It's more like when you're doing foreclosures, it's more like you are a real estate agent and a property manager. It's like two things and two roles in one.
Right. So you got your property management license too?
You don't have to have one.
Oh, what state are you at? Because I know we gotta have that here. Huh?
Well, I'm not. Down here, you have to have a property management license. For example, if you're going to be working with a homeowners association.
Right, right, because that's what kind of threw me off, because you sounded like a property manager for
right.
Fannie Mae. If you're saying that you have to go to Joe Schmo and get a quote on the roof, that sounds like a property manager.
Right, your role or, you know, the things that you're required to do for them, you do have to take on extra responsibilities or more responsibilities than you would for a regular, you know, homeowner. So, and part of what they will do is they will say, okay, well, you know, this house is in bad condition. We need to get XYZ done. Go out and get, you know, estimates.
Right, but I don't understand it because, what state are you in?
The state of Florida.
Okay, because that's the only thing that's throwing me off because, you know, in the state of Georgia, you
mm-hmm.
still have to be a licensed property manager.
To sell foreclosures?
No, not to sell foreclosures, but, you know, just to be a property manager.
Well,
to
you're
manage properties,
you
have to, you know, go to school and be licensed for that, too, for property management.
You're technically not the property manager. The owner is the property manager. So whatever, the owner, whoever, whichever entity
owns
the property.
Yeah, I'm still confused, though. Help me out, because I'm stuck.
They will send you out to do stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I'm only stuck because you are a real estate agent. When do you become... When do you become, to Fannie Mae, the damn property management, the upkeep, where you have to go find a contractor for the goddamn roof? I don't understand that. How does that come into play? Because, you know, goddamn, a real estate agent still operates as a real estate agent, be it if it's for Fannie Mae or not. The only thing their job is to do is to get the goddamn house sold. That's it. So I'm trying to figure out how to you not selling the home because first you got to go find somebody to fix the goddamn roof on it. That's where I'm throwed off at. That's where I'm stuck.
Okay. So, no, my role, in fact, is as a real estate agent, not a property manager. However, if things need to get done, I will, you know, part of my responsibility is to go get them done. It's not per se part of my contractual agreement with them, but if it's required for me to do that, then I have to go do that.
I don't understand
that, though. Like if you're
how is that required? Because the only thing I know that an agent, and I don't know, maybe laws differ, but in the state of Georgia, the laws are simply the only thing that the agent is only have in mind is to represent the buyer or the seller.
Right.
Either for the buyer to get the house the seller to get the house sold or the buyer to get them a house. So I'm still confused. You're not going to let me finish so you can know where
sorry.
I'm confused at, then you can help me break the confusion.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk
okay.
over you. Go
where I'm confused is because, like I said, in the state of Georgia, the agent's responsibility is to make sure that their client get what they want, which is the house sold or to find them a house to buy, be it Fannie Mae or not. Who gives a fuck? All the laws are basically the goddamn same. So I'm kind of – and if, in fact, the house is impossible for it to sell, and this is a foreclosed home, you say that Fannie Mae needs you to sell, right? They send you an email and say, listen, we got a house on the foreclosure. Would you like to be the agent? You know, got to sell this shit. When do you look at a roof and say, oh, shit, the roof has a leak. Let me find someone to fix it.
Okay. I think Jolly, I'm looking at Jolly's comment, and I think she really perfectly summed it up. She says, Fannie and Freddie give her the authority to do whatever she needs to do to get the house sold. So
that's not it. No, they don't. I mean, they give you the authority to sell the home, but that's the only thing I'm thrown off at because if I'm the owner and Fannie Mae owns the house, because I know how this works, if I'm the owner and I'm Fannie Mae, okay, and I'm asking you to just sell it.
Right.
Now, I know, you know what I'm saying, the and if I know that the house has a leaking roof, then I, as Fannie Mae, send out another email to contractors that work for me to go get the house fixed, and I pay them. Your job is to focus on selling the goddamn house, putting it listed.
Right. And in a perfect world?
No, that is it. Let me call Fannie Mae for you. That is it. Because that's what threw me off because I couldn't understand how do you – you know, because the construction side of it, when you mentioned it, and then you said that you was a real estate agent, and this is how you do it, it kind of threw me off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It kind of threw me off because I couldn't understand it because I know real estate law. You know, I'm a real estate agent myself.
So
in the state of Georgia.
let me ask you this. So in the state of Georgia, what is the law? Because obviously this is the government, so they would be working, you know, within the law. But in the state of Georgia, are you saying that a real estate agent couldn't? So, okay, let's take it outside of the realm of foreclosures and let's just deal with a regular house. So let's just say
right.
you as a real estate agent, you have a client, you know, or a home seller who you've contracted with to sell their home. They don't know any contractors. They don't know anybody. They know that their home needs some work. So are you saying that it's against the law for you to suggest that they, you know, or even maybe help them in getting estimates so that they could review that? Now, I don't review the estimates.
Well, no, not help them getting estimate. That's not the thing. Because we do a little bit more. If there's a leak in the roof, you know, mm-hmm. and remember the buyer gets a full disclosure form on everything that's dealing with that home. If it's the damages of pesticide, or if the home has been treated, all of that is on that so-called list of a full disclosure list of the home, whether there was a leak in the basement and it was fixed, whether they added an upgrade or to a fireplace. All that's in there, whether the basement is a crawl space or it's a, you know, finished basement or not. Mm-hmm. That's already in the full disclosure. So what we do as real estate agents in the state of Georgia, if we find out that this house is not selling for some reason, you mm-hmm. know, and we're talking about my money as well, because I don't get paid unless my client can get up, you know, let's say this is a seller. So if my mm-hmm. client doesn't sell his home, I don't get paid. Then we start to do a few other things, such as staging the home. Now we got to clean this bitch up, start to pack all they shit up, put it in goddamn containers, which is something that they do, but we hire one of our friends that is licensed to stage homes. That's all we fucking do. We're not going to tell. We don't call a contractor to fix their roof if there's a leak. They know they need to fix that roof. However, that shit is great and negotiable, goddamn, at the end when it's time to negotiate prices for a buyer to the seller, we can knock down some of the prices because there is a roof, a leak in the goddamn roof, and we'll knock down $10,000 off the selling price so your ass can get it, and then that's that. We're just a buffer between the buyer and the seller. We're not a buffer between the buyer and a damn roof contractor.
Okay, so You do have instances where the seller, in this case, a government-sponsored entity, whatever, will say, all right, you know, okay, we're not going to get fix this repair. We'll just –
Thank you, Arishnagal. Arishnagal said, it sounds like you're a property manager. Because it sounds a little bit different, you know. And I know states varies, laws are still like a puzzle.
Let me ask you this, Don. So let's just say, because you always give the seller the option. Okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to get it repaired, or do you want to just knock off a couple $1,000 off?
Yeah,
the
I just say that.
Right. So exactly, you just said that. You always give them that option. Now they could take the option to just knock off off the price, or they can also take the option to say, okay, well, I want to go ahead and get the roof repaired.
Yeah, I just said that. Then that's their job to find it and get it done.
Okay.
Then that's their job. You're not the buffer for that. That's what kind of threw me off. Because Fannie Mae does not just deal. This is what got me. Fannie Mae does not just deal with just real estate agents.
Let me ask you a question.
Fannie Mae deals with government contractors, construction companies, roofers, all types of shit, plumbing, electricians, carpenters. Why would they need an agent to go find them a goddamn estimate on a damn leak in the roof, on to fix the roof? I just don't get it.
Okay, I'm about to ask you some questions to maybe help you to understand. So we're at the point where
773. I'll see your hand. Give us a minute.
Let's pretend that you're the you're the agent, and I'm the I'm the seller. So I'm saying, all right, Don, you've come to me. You said, listen, Nikki, we have a leak in the roof. You can either get a contractor to fix the roof, or you can take off some money off the purchase price. If I as the seller say, all right, I'm not taking any money off the purchase price. We need to find a contractor to go ahead and fix the roof. Now, I have a contractor that I generally work with, but Don, can you do me a favor? Can you go in and see if you have any contractors that you can maybe have come and give me estimates, and I can maybe compare that?
Oh, please. No. Never works that way.
You would walk away?
It never works that way because they send it out once the home is straight. If Fannie Mae takes control of the home and they send somebody through there to, you know, after Fannie Mae bought the loan or, purchased the home.
or whatever. If it's a Fannie Mae home, they send their peoples back in there to inspect the home. They have bidders, people who are licensed inspectors that done went through the CCR, that done got in there and deal with their company, and Fannie Mae knows they exist. They send them out the email, which is sort of like yours, but it's just say, okay, home need inspecting. Anybody wants to bid on it? What's the bid? This, that, and the third. How much is it costing? Yada, blah, 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 blah. Once they inspect the home, the bidder goes out, who wins the contract, goes out, or if they already have their in-house inspector, there's no need to bid on it to inspect the property. They go out, they do their assessments on the property, come back, file their report with Fannie Mae, find out that this, that is wrong. It goes to another desk in Fannie Mae for a list of contractors that can get that home back to where it is so it needs to be sold. Come on in. Oh, shit. Well, they hung up. 773, push one more time. I apologize. Nikki, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello?
You obviously have it in your mind that it's one way, so, okay.
No, because I know how it works. I've been there, done that, got a T-shirt and a hat.
Okay.
If I didn't know, I would believe you. You know what I'm saying? But because I know, we're just having a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sound. What threw me off when you try to give a scenario, you know what I'm saying, and not an experience. So, it just throws me off when people give a scenario
that
or an example,
and
it's not an experience.
That was an experience.
When do you, because you never say, I've never got a complete understanding of when do you become the buffer as an agent to go find a construction company, Joe Schmo
let's just
take it back to Fannie Mae property, and that's not how the government runs its business. The government is not going to ask you to goddamn find a goddamn roof company unless you work right there at Fannie Mae office and sends that paper of a list of assessments done by the inspector to find out everything that's wrong with the house before it goes on the market. They send it to you. And then that's your job is to goddamn send an email out of, contractors that can fix the things that's on that goddamn list. And then I can understand that's your job. It doesn't come to you yet. You don't get an email yet until it's ready for the house to be listed.
I just proposed this. We were just talking about a scenario, Don, where I'm the seller, you're the agent. You come to me, you said you have two options. I'm not a direct employee of any government entity. I'm a independent real estate agent. I work with sellers and home buyers.
Okay, when you say independent real estate agent, and of course you're independent because you work for yourself, but what office do you work out of? You still didn't send me that private message. What company? Who's your broker? What firm?
We're talking about a scenario. How is that important or even, why?
Well, it was
why
important earlier because you said you wouldn't tell me online, you wouldn't tell me out loud, but you would send me a private message and tell me who's your broker. It has a lot to do with it because I still didn't get who you work for. I still didn't get that. Because you said you'll private message me.
Okay, and I will.
Did you not tell me that you'll private message me?
And I will. I will. But let's just finish this conversation that we were having because if you can believe whatever you choose to believe. I was telling you of a specific scenario that I've experienced actually recently that was very frustrating for me within the context of, a lot of times government entities get, overbilled, overcharged. Because, there's a perception out there from their vendors that we could charge, whatever we want to because it's the government. And I was giving you an experience that I had a little while ago.
We didn't get it. I didn't hear the experience. You just go into your scenario.
Jolie, are you there, Jolie? Jolie? Hello? I just talked about it. I just told you I had a situation. I got a repair from Joe Schmo, and I got a repair estimate from someone else that was 10 times you know, and that
right.
Else,
and you're going to get that, though. Okay, but that someone else, is that a government contractor?
Yes.
How do you know that's a government contractor, that you got that, you know, that high price range? How do you know that that was a government contractor?
Because they're on the list of government contractors for this specific government entity.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I mean, we could go back to the scenario of I'm the home seller, you're the agent. You proposed two options to me. I chose the option where we need to get a repair estimate. I have a contractor that I've worked with in the past that I can get an estimate from, but I want more estimates so that
I can
take a look at
the number.
Yeah, but
I think that's the only thing I don't get. Like, how do you play the buffer between what the house needs and you get estimates from contractors? I don't get that. That sound like you sound either a home buyer, you know what I'm saying, or someone that's appointed to just
get
prices for
and
other
not,
people.
And I'm not trying to, like, be rude or talk over you. I'm just, like, so passionate right now. So don't, like, if I'm just
me too.
Like,
I'm passionate as well because real estate
it's
is my
because,
game.
Right, no.
Real estate
so
is
like
my
that,
game.
It's not like I'm not trying to be rude or – I'm just – okay. All right, so let me – okay, so let me put it to you like this. Okay, and then, Dawn, if that's – and we're role-playing now. I'm the seller. I'm your client, and you're my agent. All right, Dawn, I need three estimates. Go and get them for me. What are you going to say to me?
Wait a minute. Say that
What's
again.
What's your response?
Say that again.
Hello, can you hear me?
No, give me the scenario. What is
it
again?
So you're selling my house for me. I have a situation that needs to be repaired. You gave me the option of either reducing my price or getting it fixed. I say I want to get it fixed. John,
okay, then
I want
to
get it fixed.
Then they have to find They would have to get it. They
Dawn,
would have to do it themselves.
Right,
I know
okay,
many,
Dawn,
girl.
Fine.
Wait, you want me to, you asked me what will I do?
I know.
You know what
I'm
saying? There's no buyer. There is
role,
no buyer
role.
Or
I'll
no
play,
seller
wait.
That acts. Wait a minute. Okay, this is not going to work. There is not a buyer that would say, you got a list of motherfuckers I can goddamn go to? You know what I'm saying? There is not. I mean, nigga, the phone book, the Yellow Pages. Are you serious? I mean, when do I got damn near eight goddamn sellers that I got to goddamn make sure that they shit is straight too, and you want me to motherfucking get in the phone book and start licking my finger through fucking pages? We don't play that shit down here.
Son, you're fired. Next!
Nope. It's not that you're fired. It's not that you're fired. That's something that they have to do because you know why? And let me explain why. Because if, in fact, you refer them to any contractors and the shit goes wrong, that's on your ass. I don't play that shit. If the shit goes wrong, if the contractor want to overcharge that client, my client, no way.
Uh-huh.
We don't play that. I don't play contracting. I'm an agent. I sell houses. I've been in the game. I know how this shit go. Ain't no way in hell I'm going to give her a list of goddamn my age, my client, a list of motherfucking contractors that can fix a roof. And then if the contracting shit is fucked up, the price is wrong, the nigga never fixed it and chipped their ass, it falls on me. We don't do that shit. We don't play buffer with fixing your house. We are not going to give you a carpenter. We're not going to give you a carpenter to goddamn do anything. We're not going to refer you to an electrician. None of that goddamn shit. Because if some shit goes wrong, you're going to blame my motherfucking company. I'm responsible. I'm representing a goddamn broker. No way. I'm representing a broker. That's why we don't do that. Only thing our job is to make the house presentable for the buyer. Make the house presentable. And have open houses. That's it. And have open houses and call the motherfuckers and see where they be in the goddamn. See where they be in the house. When can they leave the house to walk our other clients
up
to look at the home. That's it.
You're opening up a camera.
That's it.
I agree with you. Let me just
like when does the shit fall on our ass if they get gypped? No, we don't play that. We don't do that, Nikki. We don't do that.
I'm agreeing with you, Dawn.
I know you do. You gotta agree with me because that means I'm not fired.
We're on the same.
Yeah, because we don't play that shit.
I agree with you. with you. When you do that, you are opening up a can of worms, because you're right. If whoever you suggest is a reflection on you, and if they do a shitty job, that makes you – I agree with you, but guess what?
Exactly right.
Guess what the reality is, right? If you don't do it, there's 100 agents in line behind
nope,
you.
Nope, not true. There's not 100 agents. Not true. Not true. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? I know what you're saying by numbers,
right.
but not
so,
true. That's
let's,
not
okay,
that's not true. You don't – no way. There is no – first of all, that's not even how it works, okay? That's not
let's
even how – I don't know. I don't even – I can't even goddamn believe.
Let's go back to the
I'm not even finna goddamn – I can't even accept what you're saying.
Let's go back to the
I can't even accept
plane,
what
so
you're
again,
saying.
I'm
you,
saying
and
you
I'm say I'm right. And
I'm
you say I'm right. So, okay. So, in other words,
you know,
if I don't
right,
do that which
right.
what I know so is right, there's other hundreds of agents that will
okay.
sit in a goddamn phone book, lick their fingers for their clients, and turn the pages and find contractors to goddamn
mm-hmm.
it fix whatever the fuck the problem is. And if they
mm-hmm.
get ripped off by some of these motherfuckers, who does it fall on? And that means
mm-hmm.
what? That means Don's hands is clean. I keep my hands clean. I don't know how y'all do business in Florida. I don't know how y'all do business down there in Florida if that's what you're licensed in. But we don't do that in Georgia. We don't do
okay.
that. We do
so
an open
Don,
house for
that,
our client. We'll do an open house for our client. We'll do an open house for our client. We'll stage the property for our client, and we'll sell the house for our client. That's all we do. That's all
right,
we
Don.
Do. We negotiate
so,
between the buyer and the seller.
So I asked you to go get me 3 estimates. So is that all that is a no, right? So
no,
I'm,
I already told
playing.
You that answer because you know
no.
that they're not going right, to ask you that. They're not going to ask you that. What are you saying, little girl? They're
okay,
not.
Don.
Buyers
so
don't
no
ask. Sellers don't
me.
Ask you that
I'm
shit.
I'm your seller. I'm your
sellers
seller.
Sellers do
I'm
not
your seller.
Ask you. The sellers
okay.
don't ask you, girl.
No.
Sellers do not ask your ass. To goddamn, I need
that's
you.
It.
I need you to find me somebody to fix my goddamn roof. Will you do that? No,
yes.
nigga. The sellers don't ask you that shit. Sellers
no.
I mean, it's their home. They've been doing upkeep on that motherfucker before you was goddamn. Before they was thinking of selling the damn house. So you know they don't do that. They don't do that.
Okay.
They
all
don't
right.
do that. What are you saying? Sellers are normal motherfucking people that upkeep their shit. I guess they're going to need you to find a lawn company too, right? The landscape,
okay.
the house farm as well, right?
Okay, Don. Okay,
right?
Don.
And if they pool ain't working and there's a pool in the backyard
okay,
and the pool ain't working and the seller say, I need you to find me a
no.
pool contractor too so I can
anybody
goddamn get my pool
on,
fixed. They need
house.
All that shit too, right? They got to get, so in other words, you, why are you talking over me? I'm just asking some few questions. I find this, it doesn't, sellers, so goddamn sellers, girl, you'll never sell a house because you're too busy goddamn and online searching for goddamn maintenance.
You're right.
You'll never sell a home.
That's
how you got? Because your job is to list the house and find
the
buyer. You list the house and find the buyer. That's your job. 773, come on in. Your mic is open. I'm sorry, y'all. The leadership, the mothership has took off. The mothership has took off. Anybody else want their mic open? Push one now just in case my switchboard goes down.
As an agent myself, I totally disagree with her on the government agent stuff that she might be doing. If she is, she's just picking herself out for a whole bunch of liability. But
exactly.
a seller will ask you to refer somebody to them if they need something and they just don't know somebody offhand. They'll ask the real estate agent, say, hey, who can do
again,
this for me?
I don't.
Wait. We got to let them talk.
And then you give them that information, and it's up to them mm-hmm. to call them and say, hey, come out, will you do this and that?
Yeah, if you got it in your damn cell phone, maybe,
Wait a minute, Nikki.
I'm about to have a conversation with him now. He's an agent.
I'm
what
saying,
state
I
are you an agent in?
Say, I'm in Illinois.
Are
you in what, Illinois?
I'm in Illinois, yes.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you something, right? So in that case,
do you sell foreclosures?
I'm so glad I got another agent, boy, because this shit here is crazy. So in the state of Illinois, right, so if your client is the seller, right, because what Nikki wants to argue the grounds or debate, because we're not arguing, debate the grounds that you got to be in the phone book for your client. So if there's a pool that your client, you know, the pool doesn't work, right, but you're selling it, you know, and your client say, well, I need you to find me a pool service. But mind you, they've been in the home. They've done the upkeep on it. When the pool wasn't working, they called and got it fixed. And we do get we all do know, because I'm in Georgia, we do a full disclosure form on the property. So we got to be honest and let these people know. The seller has to let us know exactly what's wrong with the house and what has been repaired. Yes or no?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and if they, you know, and then that's another can of worms if they have been lying, keeping things from us, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Illinois, what's your specialty? What's your area specialty, or what's your niche up there in Illinois? What type of real estate do you specialize in?
Single family. Residential.
Commercial, residential. Okay.
Single family, residential.
Okay. Have you ever worked with any? Have you ever worked with any of the banks or any of the government-sponsored entities to help them sell homes that they own?
Yes,
and you've never been asked to get estimates for them?
Let me tell you this. Okay. If someone had the nerve to ask me to go out and have a roof done for the government, my first thing would be give me a contract, a business outside my real estate contract.
Otherwise,
go do it your goddamn self.
Yeah. I mean, and nobody does that. Who does? What seller would say, I need you to go find me a contractor then to fix this roof because I'm deciding to fix. Nobody does that.
I'm not saying that Joe Schmo.
Nobody does that. And, you know, then, you know, like, are you serious, girl? You know.
Now, Don, let me say this. Now, I've had sellers ask me, do you know someone? Do you know someone who does this? Do you know someone? And if I got it in my card catalog or my phone,
absolutely.
Right
if you got it right in your pocket, if you got a cell phone with their name and number, who you use in your house that you live in, maybe. You know,
exactly.
Like, well, I mean, I had a guy to come fix my roof last week. You want his number?
Right. That's a little bit different.
Otherwise,
I'm going to tell them, well, the Yellow Pages is where I would go to look. You go grab the Yellow Pages and whatever you find.
That's what you got to do.
Okay,
you got to do
because Illinois,
it's important
if you
that,
have.
Because the thing about selling a home and our client is that they really have to be able to be, they have to be kind of like a client and a lawyer. The lawyer supposedly knows the law. So if the lawyer knows the law, if the real estate agent tells their client, this is what's going to have to be done in order to get this house sold, this is what you're going to have to do, okay? You're going to have to pack up a whole bunch of this shit, get rid of some of this ugly-ass goddamn shit, get rid of some of this, get rid of that, get rid of that ugly picture. You're going to have to goddamn put half of this shit in storage and shit like that, and they have to do it. They listen to us. We don't listen to them motherfuckers. The only time we listen to them niggas when it's time for an offer. That's the only time. And another time that we have to listen to our clients is simply when we call them and say, we have a potential buyer that's wanting to look at the property. Can we set up a date for Thursday? Will you be in the home? Okay, well, fine. Now, we'll leave the property, you know what I'm saying, it'll be about 5 o'clock. Okay, 5 o'clock is good. I'll tell the potential buyer that 5 o'clock is good for them, and you'll be out the home. You and your family have something to do, and I'll walk them through. That's all. That's about it. That's all. That's about it. Staging the home, finding the buyer, and making sure that the house is sold. That's it. That the house is sold. That's it. And walk them through the home and tell them whether it was upgrades that was done in the home or whether it was a leak in the roof that was fixed in 1998. It's a new roof that was put on in the house 3 months ago. This done in the third, and there was carpet damage. There was damage in the basement, carpet damage, so it was removed. Just all of that. All we need to know is the knowledge of the goddamn home so we can sell it. That's it. We don't do no yellow paging. We don't do that. We don't do yellow paging, baby. We don't do that.
Okay.
We list the house. That's it.
Okay. All right. Well,
and we sell it.
God, as you always say, Don, God bless you and may the heaven shine upon you. And Illinois.
What the hell does God have to do with real estate, this conversation? When did that come into play?
No, I'm saying if that's how you would do it or how you handle it.
I mean, that's how it's done. You know, I mean, 434, come on in. On the air.
434, hi, this is Robert Mandinga from Virginia.
What's good, Robert? What's happening?
Yeah, I just wanted to break it down to the best way to sell it with the fucked up roof on it. I mean, you know, because you're trying to fix it up.
Right, if we're trying to get a sale, we're not, yeah. But, you know, sometimes
But, you know, that's interesting that you...
But you know what? And I'll say
we can't hear what he got to say.
Let me break it down to it. The best way to sell it, I bought a 105-year-old house in Rochester, New York. Me and my female friend, we moved in there, didn't pay no rent for 6 months. And then once we bought the fucking house for $28,000, the home improvement fixed the goddamn roof and the fucking, and the windows. If you own the motherfucker, you can get it fixed up anyway. You ain't got to worry about no goddamn money. Your problem is you're trying to analyze shit too much.
Let me say this as well. Sometimes when I do, because I always say, listen, you know, let's just get this house sold. You know, there's XYZ problems with the house, but my recommendation generally, unless it's something really, really bad, is to just, you know, let's just take it off the price and let's move forward. And sometimes they will say, you know what, I want to see how much it's going to cost to repair. And then by the time you get the estimates, you show it to them and they see versus just taking $10,000 off the price of the home, they'll just take the $10,000 off the price of the home and keep it moving. Sometimes it's just, you know, you have to go through the motions.
Wait a minute, Virginia, you got to be quiet now. I got to hear what she's saying. Go ahead.
No, sometimes you just have to go through the motions. Sometimes you just have to, you know, all right, get the estimates, show it to them. By the time they look at the estimates versus taking $10,000 off the price of the home, okay, let's take the $10,000 off the price of the home and keep it moving.
I said that. I said that first, and that's something that you never mentioned until after I said it. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, it ain't going to go no further. All right. So I'm done.
Okay, but I want to go back.
I'm
to
done
because
real estate is my shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I eat shit and breathe real estate. That's my shit.
That's my shit. Yeah,
that's like the Bible. That's like the Bible. I quote real estate law on your ass like I do the Bible. Real estate.
That's right.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a little bit different. I'm not just the agent. I will quote the law to my goddamn clients and let them know what exactly to look for, what not to look for.
Calls. It don't matter. I ain't got to do nothing for them. I can sell it for a rock, a turtle. I can find a turtle in the road.
Okay, but this is not a pissing contest, Virginia. This is not a pissing contest. We're just talking real estate. Yeah, this ain't about selling rocks. We ain't talking about the dope game.
You asked the one question that I wanted answered also, is what credential did she have that say she can step outside of the real estate agent and into the contracting part for the government?
I'm not a contractor.
That threw me off.
I'm not a contractor. I didn't say that I go and I fix the houses. I say that I go get estimates. I submit it to the client. I let them review the estimate and make a decision. That's it. I don't make decisions as far as that's concerned because that's not my role. My role is to sell the house. But if the client asks me to go help them get some estimates, you get the estimates, you submit them, and let them make a decision. I'm not a contractor. I don't lay bricks. I don't lay mortar. I don't, you know, change. You know, I don't fix roofs. I don't do that. That's not my job,
and I never said that.
But just out of curiosity, why would you put yourself out that far?
Well, you know what? How much experience do you have with the foreclosure, you know, that specific niche?
You're going to answer the question first? How far? Why do you go so far then if that's true?
Answer that, and then you can ask him a question. It's part of what's required, and most experienced foreclosure agents know that. It's part of the job.
Well, you know, I may not be experienced enough then, because I've only been doing real estate for 27 years. I guess I got
no. You ain't experienced enough
in that specific niche.
You're definitely not experienced enough.
Like, okay, that's for you to say that is like, you know, you have a cardiologist versus a general doctor, and the general doctor is trying to give information on, you know, tell the cardiologist how to operate on a heart. And the cardiologist has been in business for five or 10 years, but the general doctor...
Let me say this real quick, because can I add to this beautiful discussion? I love it. I love it because it's real estate. It's not black and white or male and female relationships. I love this. So may I just add that, you know, you're not a real estate agent that deals with foreclosures. Most people specializes in just selling the home or buying a foreclosed home. So a house is a house. They don't give a damn whether it was foreclosed or not. It's still the home. There's still a seller and a buyer. It doesn't matter whether it is a foreclosed home or a house that was burnt the fuck up and you selling the house plus the property on it. That shit doesn't mean a goddamn thing talking about have you ever dealt with foreclosures. Only time that question is asked, wait. Only time that question is asked is when it's dealing with the mortgage people. People who dealt with foreclosed homes as mortgage lenders. You understand? That's the only time that shit is asked. We are all agents on this motherfucker. It's not. We're all agents in this bitch. We're not foreclosures agents. We're not. We're not mortgage companies.
Let me give her one little piece of advice that's probably going to help her more than anything else. What you need to do at this point is, since you're going to do all of that, you need to go out and get yourself a general contractor's license. Since you're going to do all of that and then sub that shit out yourself, you may get some money.
Did I at any point during this conversation, and advice. I know that I specifically said I don't do anything concerning general. There's a difference between
That's why I said general contractor's license, because you don't see a general contractor doing shit but passing stuff on to somebody else.
Sub it out.
Exactly.
You're
going to go out there and make some money at it.
Thank you for your advice, Illinois. I appreciate it.
I'll take it into consideration. You'll definitely get some income since you're going out that far.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So how successful has it been up there in Illinois in the real estate game up there for you?
Well, I mean, it was when I was doing it. I mean, a couple of years ago, I quit, and I just started managing my own stuff now. Only thing I do with my license at this point in my life is my family and friends. My family and friends, they come along and want something, I'll do theirs. But I don't get Joe Blow off the street and try to sell them
anything. Yeah, because that's where I stopped at, too, where you at, because I only do it for family and friends, because I'm not in it for, I mean, to me, it was more of a pimp game with the broker. The broker is the pimp. You know what I'm saying? Got you sending your ass out there, running your ass all butt wild, trying to fucking sell a goddamn house. So it does become more of a personal relationship because it's a little bit different. I peeped the pimp game, I don't know, 2000 and goddamn 6.
Now, let me say this, since there's still a lot of people seem to be listening. I would tell anybody, if you are going to become a real estate investor, leave those freaking licenses alone. Do not get a license.
Yep.
Because as a licensed agent, you can't do every deal. If you got to be a real estate investor, leave the license. If I had known that, I just went out on a whim when I got my real estate license, just for the hell of it, for something to do. And then after I started investing, I thought, oh, shit, I should have never touched these licenses. I should have just went on out and started investing, make the real estate agents do the work.
Exactly. Well, see, you know what's interesting? Because when I went out for mine, I only went because I'm interested in just knowing how the real estate game works in the future of me buying a home. I just wanted to know how's the laws and to learn everything about it before I fucking try to get my ass set up in some shit I didn't know, like being a home buyer. And what I found out in school is that, you know, of course, the broker is actually the one that's running shit. As far as the agent is concerned. So what I did was I decided to do the broker thing, to get the firm. When they said, because in the state of Georgia, it's 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be a licensed agent for 3 years and then go back to school for your broker's license. You know what I'm saying? So you can own your own firm.
Right. Well, back when I did, you only had to wait a year to go and get your broker's license. But now there's no more agent's license. As of May of next year, you have to go straight in as a broker or you don't go.
Yep. Is that in your state, or they're gonna put that law in effect on all the states? Because I know states vary.
I only follow Illinois laws and the changes, so I really can't tell you about the other states. I've never even bothered to look.
Okay. Okay. Because I know that a lot of veterans in the real estate game as agents stop. You know, they do it every now and then. You know, when they get
right.
it, you know, when they get that feeling, they'll
right.
do it every now and then. But we just keep up and we just pay our annual dues. That's all. My shit
exactly.
is sitting on the wall in the Georgia Real Estate Commission's office. Mine is sitting there. I'm not working for a goddamn, because in this town, you know, we have GMC. I don't know if y'all have GMC.
GMAC.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
they offered me a job there, and I turned it down because I didn't want to I didn't want to work for them motherfuckers. I like their plan, but I didn't want to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a good worker when it comes to working for somebody.
Now, the thing that another piece of advice I would give her at this point also, if you're going to do something, get yourself a loan officer's license. Because let me tell you, once you see how those brokers deal with money, the lenders deal with money, it's mind-boggling.
I know. Yep, that's the shit. That's where I'm headed. I'm headed to get a firm. I already wrote my firm down when I was 19. Yes, I'm going firm. I'm going broker. I got to have
yep.
a real estate firm.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Then work my way up to loan officer. But I know a lot of loan officers, a lot of them, and appraisals, and, you know, and inspectors and all that type of shit. So it's not nothing that I can't get sold. There's nothing I can't sell.
Ooh. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, I hope she takes, you know, that advice and move forward in it. But, I mean, if she's doing all of that stuff for a government entity, she's throwing her time away because it's just like she said, the people charge the government more than they would the normal Joe Blow. Guess what? You're not going to stop them, so you may as well join them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, but I know how government contractors are, whether it's Fannie Mae or it's the government that, because we bid for hospital contracts with the government. That's what we bid for managing their emergency rooms in such locations as Native American reservations and shit, or VA hospitals. We bid for their emergency rooms. So it's the same thing. If you're on the outside, and you want in on the government to bid for contractors, whether it's a janitorial company or a goddamn construction company or a goddamn medical company, or a furniture company. It's the same door that you still have to walk through. It's the same information that you still have to give up before you even
mm-hmm.
get in with the government contracting bidding. And they do send you, there's like God damn, I can't think of it. It's kind of like we get like this huge email of what contracts are up for grabs that's ending, and that gives
right,
us
yeah.
a certain time to draw up our business proposals and put our plan together and all this type of stuff and our forecast of how much it's going to take and then our company profile experience and all that type of stuff and send them the whole shit and let them review it. And if we don't get it, we don't get it. We got many letters, and I can prove it, many letters where they say, well, we liked everything. The only thing we didn't like is that you bid it too high. You know what I'm saying? And this, that, and the third. It was always something. I got letters to prove that this is what we do. You know what I'm saying? So we've got a lot of turn down letters, and we also received a lot of, you know, we give you the contract. We got more turn down letters than anything, though.
Well, anytime you're dealing
with the government. And that's
dealing
with the medical side of it. So there are companies, I mean, we know many, because then it just pops up where one company gets the government contract for $8 billion. This shit is crazy the way they play this game with government contracting. So
yeah,
being if it's Fannie Mae or not, Fannie Mae is not going to ask a real estate agent to go find them a fucking a roofer to fix one of their properties. They already have contractors that's already bidded on the property to fix it.
Exactly.
So that's why I said it doesn't make sense.
And email.
I know the way this shit works.
Yeah.
They're not going to call a recruiting agency to find a hospital, a company that can bid on hospitals for them to manage their hospital. They're not going to do that. They already have contractors who do that. We are fucking in competition with these motherfuckers every day. Everybody's bidding on the same goddamn thing. You're not going to call an agent to do it, a real estate agent, to find them one. They have hundreds of thousands of contractors that'll fix a roof. All they need is the bid. That's it. And you got to have more than just a person that can fix the roof. Meaning your company, if it's XYZ construction company, your portfolio has to show when you're bidding for a particular property, your portfolio has to show that not only you got a roofer, you got a plumber, you got a electrician, you got all these motherfuckers under your company, and then you bid. That's it. You don't, because if a person just is a roof company, that's not enough for any government entity to even consider you because you lack experience in one of the other fields of maintenance. That means you don't have the experience. That's why when we bid, we submit our nurses, we submit our LPs, our EMPs, our registered nurses, we submit everything so that we can cover the fucking hospital. We submit our emergency doctor. We submit every fucking thing. We don't just say, oh, we can take over your hospital and I'm a doctor of emergency medicine. And then they're going to say, well, nigga, we need some LPs. We short on nurses. You are incompetent to take over this $1 million contract. You know what I'm saying? So they'll give it to somebody that has a full goddamn house, a fully greased goddamn company that houses everything dealing with that particular area in business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But young lady, trust me, I wasn't really jumping on you, but I just want you to know that you did leave out that little part that really kind of stuck there. That hey, there's a bridge you have to cross to do what you said you were doing, and I agree with Don wholeheartedly. They're not gonna just ask you to do it.
She ain't listening to you.
Oh no, I'm here. I'm listening.
Nikki, you
I heard every word you said.
Oh my bad. Thought Nikki was like, nigga, what?
I'm not running away from this. No, not at all.
I just didn't want you to feel that way.
I sell many, many, many homes, and I'm, you know, one of the few agents that is still very blessed to be making good money doing real estate. So with that being said, I will definitely take what you have suggested into consideration.
And you'll be happy.
You are truly a blessing. You are truly a blessing. I just like the conversation, you know what I'm saying, because that's one of my – I mean, for real, I just like the conversation. Because, you know, real estate my shit. Real estate is my shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad. I mean, you in Florida, I'm in Georgia, here in Illinois. We just come together and have a great debate. I mean, I love it.
Absolutely.
But I not only that, you know what I'm saying, I know real estate law. I also know contract law, government contract law, because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? We bid for government contracts damn near every motherfucking month when it pops up in their database, when we get an email, and this, that, that, and the third is for bid. So I know how it works. And government entities, be it Fannie Mae or goddamn whatever company that the government has established that awards you, because the government is basically like the buffer for other companies who need someone that they trust that has already been screened from by the government to bid on the contract. You cannot get a contract, a government one ad or a government of something that's going on in the government. You're not accessible to it until you go through all the goddamn doors, and it takes like damn near about 2 to 3 weeks to get them everything you fucking need that the government asks, and then they start to let you in the door. Then you start to receive contracts of what is up for grabs, what they need to bid on, and when one contract is about to be over. Then you get a letter. Then you do a letter of submission that we're interested in it, and how long is it the opportunity open? When will y'all be reviewing the goddamn proposals and all that type of shit? Then you build a relationship with the motherfuckers that need goddamn contracting. It's a strenuous process because it's a lot of companies that does the same goddamn thing that you do that are already bidding on certain government contracts as you do. I know how this shit works. I'm not just in real estate. I'm in the government contracting. We contract with the government. So there's a lot that you got to have to do that. That's why it kind of threw me off. Like Fannie Mae would not ask you to, you know, on a foreclosed home or whatever to fix a roof, to find an estimate on a roof. They would not ask you that. That's all I'm saying. Now, maybe you're a citizen, a buyer outside of a government. Maybe they will ask you to find them something. But I know Fannie Mae ain't finna ask you to goddamn give us a goddamn estimate on a damn roof. They not going to do that. I know Fannie ain't going to do that. Because they have a list of goddamn, same way they got a list of real estate agents, they got a list of goddamn contractors that can fix roofs. I know that. Anyway, silence in the heavens. Are we going to move on to another conversation or what we're going to do? Because we got about 30 minutes left.
Well, I'm still here, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for you, Don, and
well,
I'm not going to.
Thank you for being here, Nikki.
I'm not going to.
I have a lot of respect for
you, know,
too.
I know my experience, and it's not hypothetical. I'm not pulling it out of the air. It's my real experience. And, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I'm not knocking if that's
great...
your experience or not. I just know that Fannie Mae is
uh-huh.
not going to send a real estate agent to actually do a job that the contractor has already bid it for. I already know that.
Wait a second. Do you think that I just want to, because I think there's some confusion here. Do you think that I actually am going out and doing the work myself? Like, cause
no,
I didn't
estimate.
That.
Getting the estimates.
Right. Getting estimates for them. Okay.
Right. Is
so,
that the question that you're asking?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that that's what it is, just getting estimates. Just,
right,
you know?
And I'm saying
and
that I
I'm
know that Fannie Mae
and you're
or
right.
Freddie Mac does
they
not,
do.
They don't do it that way.
Right, and what I'm also saying is that they do have a list of approved vendors that they work with. I'm not saying that they don't.
Nikki.
I'm not saying that they don't, and I'm not saying that they don't use them either. I wasn't saying that either.
The point is they have general contractors who come out with those, nobody get those estimates.
They do, and sometimes they will want an outside third party to see if, okay, well, this contractor bid $50,000 for this job. Let's see what a local license.
They don't do that, sweetheart. Fannie Mae is the chain of command. They're not going outside of anybody that is not registered with the CCRA as a contractor to bid. They're not going to call A&J Roofing Company if they're not already inside, logged in, registered with the CCRA.
Can I ask you a question, Don? Because I've been selling foreclosures for almost 5 years now, and I just want to ask you, do you think that I'm
It's not you selling
lying,
foreclosures.
I don't
if
know
you,
what I'm
it's you saying
about.
That Fannie Mae calling you saying, girl, find us a roofing company.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they do that. What I'm saying is, listen, okay, let me put it within the context of this right here, okay? There are millions and millions of foreclosure properties on the market right now, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Millions,
oh, yeah.
Okay? All right, number one. Number two, there are... You know, in this niche, there are tons and tons of agents that sell foreclosures for, you know, banks, government-sponsored entities, credit unions, et cetera. I'm not saying that, you know, they call me specifically, okay, well, we have a house in, you know, wherever, Nicolette, go get bids. No, what I'm saying is this. They have a house that they want to sell. They will contact me or, you know, any of the other agents in their network to sell the house, depending on, you know, how close we are to that house, how close our office is to that house.
And first of all, they wouldn't contact you because you're not a broker. So let's clear that. they'll contact the broker's firm that's already went through the CC&R registration, that's got their goddamn completion of being part of bidding for contracts, for one.
Well,
You're an agent.
Sandy, there's more than one.
Because you cannot sell houses.
You cannot do shit unless you are represented
by a firm first.
And they don't
right?
directly.
Am I right? Yes or no?
You can't sell a house
unless you have a firm that you're
right.
working under.
Absolutely.
Yes or no?
Absolutely.
So they are not contacting you. They're contacting the firm that you work for. Then your firm says, okay, good, we got the contract. Fannie Mae got a few homes that we need to sell. Nikki, are you interested? You want to go check out the property? And then you say yay or nay. Correct? Because you don't get an email. Because if you did get an email, then you'll know what I'm talking about as far as registering your company as under the CCR so that you can get government contracts. Because the government is not going to email you unless you done went through the proper door to be set up properly as a contractor for the government. So
right.
yes or no, am I right or am I wrong?
No, I said that earlier. I said that I don't work directly with them. I'm an independent contractor. I don't work through the firm that I work with. I don't get it through them. I work through a company that has a relationship with directly with Fannie Mae. But when I'm hired to list a property, my listing agreement is not with that firm. It is with directly with Fannie Mae.
No, it cannot be directly with Fannie Mae because you're not a government contractor. Unless you went through CCR. Did you go through CCR?
No, I didn't go through CCR.
Oh, then there's no way Fannie Mae knows you exist.
There's no way Fannie Mae knows you exist. There's more than one way to get a relationship with Fannie Mae. You can get one directly or you can get one through companies that have a relationship directly
with
Fannie Mae.
Then they added you in their performance side. They said that we already have licensed agents that can go out and sell the home. That means they added you in the performance record inside their proposal to get it.
Right.
That means they've added you. If they said we got 10 professional real estate agents, all one has this, that means they submitted your name because you have to submit the name. Then they have to ask you to fax us a copy of your license in the state of Florida. They have to ask you all this type of shit in order for them to even finish the proposal first. You had to get a list of agents and their license and their past performance and how long they experience in selling homes and all this type of shit before it's even sent to Fannie Mae to review the goddamn proposal to see if it's somebody that they want to fuck with.
Right, but what I'm saying, Dawn, is that when I have a listing agreement to sell a house, my listing agreement isn't with XYZ firm. My listing agreement is directly between Fannie Mae and myself.
It is not, Nikki. You are lying.
I'm looking at a listing agreement right
entity.
Now. Okay,
that
so what are you proposing?
That is a government entity, Nikki.
What are you proposing? So then what are you proposing then?
You know what I'm proposing, that you're lying.
No, I don't.
Yes,
because
there is no way Fannie Mae is fucking with you. Unless you have already registered your company with the CCR, that's a government entity. They are not going to go through a phone book and find real estate agents. They bid. Everybody bids. Once you go through that CCR door, sweetheart, come on, you playing.
Let me say this, Nikki.
Just be truthful. You playing because you're getting yourself sunk in every time.
Those are serious words to call somebody a liar. Before you call somebody a liar, I would highly
I didn't say you are a liar. I'm saying you're lying in this particular goddamn conversation.
Before you throw out lies.
Okay, let's do it this way. Somebody give me Fannie Mae's number. Let's do it. I'll just call Fannie Mae and tell them I'm a real estate agent and do they have any houses that the goddamn it they need motherfucking selling. Let's just do it. Somebody, hurry up real quick. Watch this. We got 20 minutes. I'll call on three-way. Give me Fannie. Oh, you should know Fannie Mae's number. You got a relationship. What's their number? Let's call them.
Well, you supposedly
give me the number.
Know.
Just give me the number. Don't you have their number?
No, I'm not giving it to you because you know you're saying that you know everything and I'm lying. So okay, if you
I'm
know
not
Fannie,
did I say I know everything? I just said I just know how this shit is ran.
Find the number. If you know, then go ahead. Then you know how to get the information. So get it. I'm letting you.
Yeah, because I'm just gonna show you. Because ain't no way they're gonna say, "Bitch, are you registered? Are you with such and such?" Okay, Fannie Mae.
You have to register. I never said you don't have to register. Did you submit a proposal?
I mean, watch. You'll see. Let me see, man. I hope they got a fucking number on this site. About Us Careers Media Center. Let's see. All right. Business partners, investors, homeowners. All right, I'm on his site. Fannie Mae. Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay, it says contact us. Select a group. Okay. I'm going to put this link in the chat room, and you tell me, does this fit the goddamn description of what Nikki is talking about? Here's the thing. Let's just see, because, I mean, in order to know, there it is. Click on that link. There's a contact list, and they're asking you to select a group. That's in order for them to contact you. So here's the question that they want to know. Corporate headquarters, capital marketing, Fannie Mae Resource Center, what type are you? Housing and community development, investor relations, mortgage bank securities, mortgage fraud, multifamily business, regional offices, single family business. Okay, so. Now, the mortgage, that ain't it. Let's see. Investors, let me find a number. But yeah, hold on, I'm calling 411.
Sorry, I didn't get that. What city and state?
It's business, government business. Operator, somebody.
Please hold for help with your request. Let the operator know if you'd like more than one listing.
We're sorry. Due to heavy calling, we cannot complete your call at this time.
What the fuck? What the fuck was that? Let's call 411. Shit on my cell phone. AT&T full of shit anyway.
Verizon Wireless 411 search.
government operator, somebody.
The operator, what city and state, please?
Florida. I just need a number to Fannie Mae. Okay, what city in Florida? Just give me a city in Orlando, whatever. It's the government. I'm looking for Fannie Mae's number.
Yeah, even with government, we have to have a location.
I'm sorry?
Even when we search in the government, we always must have a city or an area code.
They don't have a 1-800 for Fannie Mae?
I could try to offer. That's different, ma'am. In Florida, I did check the Orlando and surrounding towns. No listing. I'll check the toll-free directory. One moment.
Thank you.
Options before making your selection.
If you are calling specifically about the Making Home Affordable program, press 1. If you are a U.S. military homeowner concerned about your mortgage, press 2. All other callers, press 3. To repeat these options, to ensure quality, your call may be monitored or recorded as necessary. Fannie Mae may share the information you give to us during this call with a third party to assist us in responding appropriately to your request.
Transferring call.
Thank you for calling Fannie Mae. My name is Jacqueline. In order to better assist you, may have your first and last name, please?
Hey, Jacqueline, my name is Don, D-O-N, last name, Nicoleone, N-I-C-O-L-E-O-N-E.
Okay, and is this your first time calling in Fannie Mae?
Yes, I just wanted to get some information or maybe be transferred to to a correct department. I'm a real estate agent, and I'm interested in selling some Fannie Mae homes. How do I go about this?
Okay, and just in case we get disconnected, can I get a telephone number where I can reach you at? 347-884-9239. Okay. All right. So you're looking to do business with Fannie Mae?
Yes. Looking to do business.
So if you're looking to do business with Fannie Mae, what you'd want to do is go on to our website, which is
www.fannie.com.
And you're going to want to scroll down to the middle of the page on your right-hand side. You'll see where it says doing business with Fannie Mae. You want to click on that.
You said on the right-hand side?
Yes, on the right-hand side.
Okay, the main page says 2010.
Yes, okay.
Scroll
down.
Okay, scroll down.
There it is,
doing business with Fannie Mae. Learn more.
Fannie Mae. You're going to click on that, and then it will take you to our corporate procurement.
A corporate?
Mm-hmm, the corporate procurement.
Okay, I'm on the corporate procurement.
So once you're done reading through that, you're going to want to click on the right-hand side of that. There's a little blue link. So
right.
You can click on the one that says registration instructions.
Registration instructions. Okay. Okay, and it's for only, I see, and it's for real estate brokers.
Yes, that is correct.
So, but I'm an agent. An agent can't do it, or can I?
Well, if you see right above it, it says all others that are not listed up below. That's what you're going to click on.
All others. Oh, it says all suppliers, right?
Yeah, all suppliers.
Okay. And I click on that? Okay, a W-9 insurance certificate, legal company name.
That, it will take you to the page where you're going to want to apply to do that.
The registration instructions, because I'm on the call, I'm still, it says supplier registration.
Okay, did you click on it?
Yeah, I'm on it. It says complete a W-9 form, insurance certificates, legal company name, federal tax ID, full country. Right?
Where's the website real quick?
Yes, I am, Joey.
Okay, let me go back.
Down below more, because there's three steps. There's step one, step two, and step three. And it's below step three, where it says online registration, and you're going to click where it says registration for all suppliers.
Okay, got it. Okay, and I clicked on that.
Yeah, and then you just go from there.
Okay, wow. That's a lot of, okay. Well, thank you. Okay, then I'm good. I'm in the game. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. Oh no, but in the meantime, can I call you anyway, just in case?
Sure.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye bye. All right, these are the requirements, and it says, all right, I'm on the application thing. Supplier self-registration qualifications. Suppliers of goods or services must be met the following minimum supplier qualification before being considered as potential suppliers for Fannie Mae.
A supplier must, one, be able to provide a completed W-9 form to Fannie Mae, have a professional place of business, and provide that business address to Fannie Mae, be in business for at least 1 year at the time of registration, and be able to demonstrate that it has revenue for this period. Be prepared to demonstrate insurance coverage appropriate for the level and type of business being conducted with Fannie Mae. Have a minimum of 3 W-2 employees. You got employees?
Yes, I do.
Well, God bless you. Not obtain more than 70% of its revenue from Fannie Mae at the time of registration. If you check below that your organization does not meet any of the above minimum supplier qualifications, use the provided text box to list the ones that's not met. For an example, my company has only one W-2 employee. All right. Some of the stuff is the MSQ not met, company information, the Office of Foreign Assets. Wow. By selecting confirm the company and its employees and contractors engaged in Fannie Mae work are not on the U.S. Treasury Office of Foreign Assets. So you either click does not confirm. Legal company name. After that, they say, other federal tax documents, that name should match the name shown on your company charter. You have a company charter?
Yes, so I do.
You're just going to say yes to everything, right? You
no,
got a DUNS
I actually
number?
Do. No, I don't have a DUNS number.
Oh, you don't, huh? You don't have a DUNS?
No, I don't have a DUNS number. No, I don't.
Oh, well.
Does it say that you need one on there?
Of course.
Right. Where does
DUNS
it say
ID.
That? Okay, I don't
have
one.
Put the link in for you people. I mean, this is part of government contracting. You got to have a DUNS number. You got to. This is a government baby. This is their baby. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that's their baby.
Mm-hmm.
A DUN, D-U-N. D-U-N, Jolly. A DUN and Bradstreet number. Yep, that's part of it right there.
Okay.
There it is. Click
well,
on that and you'll be able to look at the application process.
A DUNS number
is a unique nine-digit assigned by Dun and Bradstreet when a company mm-hmm. registered in their database. This number can be used to access company Dun's and Bradstreet profile. It's kind of like your new credit reporting agency.
Right,
not Equifax or none of them.
By I listen the IRS, to your show all the I just want to say this. I listen to your show all the time, and I've learned tons and tons about business. As a matter of fact, I learned about Dun's numbers from your show, Don, so I definitely want to give you credit with that. But that being said, and not be having a DUNS number, I still do have listing agreements with Fannie Mae. So there you go.
I mean, in order to even have a listing agreement with Fannie Mae, I'm sure you had to fill this out first.
There are other ways to get. There are other ways to become a listing agent for Fannie Mae.
Oh well, please share. Help us out because I want in and I don't want to fill that shit out. Now
I'm gonna give you the pleasure, Don, of doing like I did and, you know, finding it out yourself. But you are on the
oh,
track
wow.
to have their number.
I would have
so
done that
call them
for y'all
YouTube.
Plenty of times. If I didn't mention Don's number, you wouldn't have never known about it. I didn't say find out what that other number is in order to get in with the government contractor.
All right, Don, I'm not going
to. I
would have
done
gonna,
that to y'all
I'm
many
not,
a times,
not,
but I did
I'm
not share
not,
information.
I'm
an
gonna,
information
I'm,
sharer.
Okay. I'm not gonna hold a grudge against you for calling me a liar. So I'll go ahead and share. And I will say this. I've learned so much from your show.
I'm not calling you. I didn't call you a liar. I just said you're lying. A liar is somebody that constantly that's all they do.
Okay, but you said that I was lying.
That's a liar is. That they specialize in lying.
You said that I was lying. You said, which is an insult. If I said that you, well, you
if
know,
I
like, maybe
insulted you because
insulted.
I said you're lying, you're a liar, don't take it as an insult. Take it as part of the debate.
Okay.
Don't take it personal.
Okay.
Just
all right.
Please,
well,
whatever you do, don't take it personal.
It's when somebody says that you're lying, it's kind of hard to not take it personal. But I'm going to put my fragile little feelings to the side. And
yeah, please.
You know, I do have a lot of respect for you. I do have a lot of respect for your show, and I've learned tons and tons about all types of things since listening to your show. And I'm not going to be stingy with information, but so I am going to go ahead and share with you, just in case you or any other agents out there are interested in becoming,
yeah,
you know,
to go through
agent.
The back door with Fannie
right.
Mae. Go ahead, because we're about to land a mothership.
Okay, so very quickly, there are a lot of companies that are called asset management companies or foreclosure marketing companies that have direct relationships with Fannie Mae. So that's another route that you can go to have a relationship with Fannie Mae.
Wait. Asset management companies?
Yes, your listing agreements will be, at least the ones that I've worked with, will be with Fannie Mae directly, not through, because my listing agreements, they're on the letterhead for the company that I work with, but my listing agreements are with Fannie Mae. And
you keep saying they're with Fannie Mae, but you didn't go exactly through Fannie Mae. You went through an asset company.
Right, that's another route. But
they're not Fannie Mae. That's an asset company. Like I said,
yeah,
that means that they bid it for the contract. We back where we at, which means that they bid it for the contract and probably submitted your information as some of the agents that they have on board.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But what I was saying was that I have a relationship.
You keep wanting to say that you have a direct connection to Fannie Mae, and you don't.
You are used as a submitted performance record to bid for the contract. I said that in the beginning.
You're not, because you keep saying the same thing. Like, I deal with Fannie Mae directly. Okay.
But that's
all you keep saying. When you get a chance, listen to that part. I mean, is it me, or maybe I'm not hearing.
No, but I'm just saying.
Are you not keep saying that you have a direct connect?
Well, what do you call
to Fannie Mae? Like they send you information, and then you mention that you go through another company?
Well, I said that in the beginning. I did say that, but
yeah, and you just said that at the end, sweetheart.
My listing agreements are directly with Fannie Mae is what I'm saying. So what do you call that? And I deal with whenever I have to deal with the Fannie Mae staff as well. It's not like everything goes through this third-party company. I have to count to Fannie Mae as well. You understand what I'm saying?
Girl.
Is it making more sense now?
Nope. It's not going to make sense until you actually go through your asset company that you spoke about. That's when it'll make sense. If you just can say, look here, bitch, I go through a motherfucking company that submits my name as part of the goddamn performance record, that I'm one of the agents that they have housed, so now give us the goddamn contract. And then asset management sends you some bids, if that's what you want to say. But you cannot work with Fannie Mae unless you have a firm.
So what do
you
call
have a
it?
Firm.
What do you call it then that I'm selling their homes and I have listing agreements with them? Who am I working with then?
The only thing I can say, if I'm gonna call it anything, I'm gonna call it, it don't make sense. That's all. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, research, because it's very
lucrative. I've done it. I've not only done the research, I'm doing it. So I'm living proof of this, it's a chain of command. If you're saying that you go through an asset company or whatever, then it's them getting a relationship with Fannie Mae. It ain't got shit to do with you. And if you're a licensed agent, then you work for a firm. And you can't work for two goddamn firms. You cannot sell Fannie Mae shit unless the firm that you work for is selling Fannie Mae shit.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well,
can we finish this a little later? Because we're about to shut off, and I hate for one of us to get cut off. I enjoyed it, Nikki, and I apologize if I insulted you. I don't want you to take it personally. I just can't get it. I'm sorry. This is like a math problem I just can't get.
Keep doing the research, and I'm sure.
I don't have to do the research. I already know.
Okay.
You might want to.
Look at the air. Look at the hang time.
People always debate it. Who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb question. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite.
Radio.
Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.